All right, we're doing the thing. It's episode 481. All hope of a 500th episode together slowly dwindles as the weeks go by. We are live tonight, of course, on the rantrantiumradio.com and Hot Mike. We got a lot to talk about. We got AEW's Double or Nothing this weekend. We had a Monday Night Raw. We had an NXT. We had a SmackDown. We had an NWA Superpower. We had an MLW Anthology episode. I got a message. And one half of the Wild Cards member of Strictly Business, Royce Isaacs, joins the Shining Wizards all next here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Follow these podcasts live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa! How dare you?
God damn.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Can nothing ever go right? I had a liner queued up. It was Curt Hawkins, and I fucked it all up, of course, as usual. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We are
live. Are you serious, bro?
Like, we are doing the intro, and Kevin keeps interrupting with birds chirping and wood planks falling all over his fucking...
All right, I'm out.
It's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Hey.
Matt.
And Kevin for about 5 more seconds.
No, don't leave.
Gotta figure something out.
Oh, he's fixing stuff. Kevin's doing construction while we're doing the show. It's all cool.
It's all good in the hood.
Listen, I can't help what goes on outside in the mean streets of West Orange, New Jersey. There's a lot of robins. There's a lot of cardinals, a lot of bluebirds, a lot of... Orioles.
I think Tony's just busting your.
Going on in West Orange right now.
I think Tony's just busting your balls, Kevin. I really can't hear.
Yeah,
anything.
I know, but I'm really nervous about this because the sound is probably going to be awful at my end. Nothing new, but we took out the doors. I mean the windows, and now we have screen windows in. So like 25% more sound is going to be coming in. So,
I think you're more worried about the sound going out.
That's a very good point. So make sure I watch my language.
That's on you, bro.
There's kids everywhere you look.
Fuck them kids, son.
True.
Yeah, really. Seriously, they should in the house quarantining. What's wrong with them?
How you guys holding up?
Same shit, dude. It's just
don't get me started on that.
What, quarantining? We had a drive-by today.
Like a shooting?
Well, close. It was somebody down the block whose birthday it was, so they had all the people outside blowing the horns and, you know, peeling out down the street and screaming out the window and, you know, good times like that. Is this going to become a thing now? Like,
that's first of all, that's fucking lame, okay?
It is. It's stupid. I don't get it. And they did it for my niece a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, why are they wasting their time? It's stupid. Especially if they're sending out, like, the police to do it, because that's just a waste of resources, dude.
They don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, but if it's a couple of friends and they want to go by and blow the horn, fine. But, you know, like, if they got like, bambalances and shit like that, it's like, come on, really?
Well, seriously? Tony, here's the thing with that. Just like everyone else, the police are trying to social distance themselves. Well, distance themselves, too. So they're not going on all the normal calls. They're not making the same amount of arrests that they normally would. So they really do have a little bit more leeway in terms of what they can do. And sometimes they could even be off duty doing this. So,
yeah, but if they're using police vehicles, that's kind of fucked, don't you think?
No, because like I said, like at least in where I live, they're not going on the same calls that they would normally do. They're issuing like tickets or via phone or some, like all that stuff, taking reports via telephone as opposed to actually going out and not arresting violent like criminals. So it's a thing, So if they're using the vehicles and they're off duty, I mean, what, does it take 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Actually, which is funny, you're talking about drive-bys. There's actually a drive-by not too far from here. So the streets are mean in West Orange.
You know, former friend of the show, Damian Dragon, I think, actually had a drive-by in his neighborhood. They came and rang his doorbell, and the back of his wife's car actually had a few bullet holes in it. So, and Matt really enjoyed that story. How you doing, buddy?
I see you got a shit.
Fucking, you got a haircut.
You gotta bring up fucking Damian Dragon, huh? That's really a way to bring the whole show down.
Hey, he retired. Well, he sort of retired on our show.
Yeah,
and that retirement actually stuck, unlike our buddy Lowlife Louie, who's retired 400 times since then.
Waste of a fucking episode right after WrestleMania.
Holy shit, dude.
What? It was. We did WrestleMania. We flew Lopez out here from Arizona. We had a whole weekend full of shit. And what did we do? We had Damian Dragon in to talk about how he's going to wrestle in the ECWA Super 8 and then retire and leave his boots in the ring. It was the biggest hunk of shit we've ever done. I'll say it. I don't care. What's that face for? And I got suckered into driving him to an ECWA show. And I got fucking plowed over by Atu. So who's the idiot? I'm the idiot. That's who the idiot is.
And you also forget you once took a right cross from Dan Moff in a pull-apart brawl as well.
That was fun, though.
So who, Matt, who did it better? Who left their boots in the ring better? Damian Dragon or The Undertaker?
Oh, it's Damian Dragon, easy, because Undertaker didn't retire.
I agree with Tony. At least Damian Dragon stuck, and he didn't come back.
There you go. And the world is better.
All right.
Speaking of people not retiring, Strictly Business's own Royce Isaacs is joining us tonight. One half of the Wild Card, your former World Tag Team Champions. And we're going to ask him some hot stuff tonight. Find out about his relationship with Mae Valentine, what's going on with Sal Marinaro, all the good stuff.
I'm sorry, Tony. I see on the hot mic we have the IC tournament graphic up.
Yes, we do. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about that before Mr. Isaac calls in. So the video dropped this afternoon. Big thanks to Kevin and Tony for doing the numbers and putting this all together. The graphics, Tony. The numbers, Kevin. I appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen. And we have gone from 32 to 16.
Yes, we have. I'm going to stretch it out over the screen so everybody watching at home can play along. But let's get into it. What's your big surprises and your big takeaways from the round of 32?
I'll tell you what my big surprise. I have two. Cody Rhodes beating Greg Valentine, which if you watch my video, I think I know why Cody Rhodes beat Greg Valentine. The other one, this fucking Roddy Piper thing, I can't wrap my brain around it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, this really sticks in your craw. I can't believe he's made it to the round of 16. It is pretty fucking ridiculous when you think about it. He beat the Ultimate Warrior, and then he beat Drew McIntyre, who was known, I mean, maybe not well known for his IC runs, but
right.
Come on, dude. Piper really didn't fucking do much of fuck all when he had the title.
That's the thing. Once you knew that, once he got past Warrior, like, come on, like, this was no shock to me just because he beat Warrior. Once he beats Warrior, you really think Drew McIntyre is going to stand the chance at, like, the voting against him? Come on, like...
But, like, in the same sense that Cody wins, you would think that because, whatchamacallit, because Drew McIntyre's in the spotlight now, that maybe more people would vote for him, but fucking Piper crushed it, didn't he?
I don't know. Maybe they're on the whole, like, who cares about current WWE things? Or maybe they just know how bad Drew McIntyre... Because I actually looked it up. Because I actually overestimated Drew McIntyre's title reign, I think. It wasn't that great either.
Was it on par with Piper's? Was it better?
It was like longer by, I think, like maybe 30 days, 30 something days. I think Piper had like 77 days and Drew McIntyre had 100 and something, maybe like 150 or something like that. But, you know, and maybe he did defend it like every other week on like SmackDown or Raw or something like that. He may have actually had, because I did look this up, but I, you know, have the memory of a goldfish. He may have had, no, he only had one reign, if I'm not mistaken. So it was over 100, I know that, but.
It was 161-day reign.
Yeah.
So he beat better, John Morrison at TLC 2009.
Yeah, so his only of note defense. So, I mean, I don't hate this victory, but the real sin was him beating Warrior.
Yeah, that was quite the upset there. Quite the upset. Who else is still in there? Any surprises that Tito Santana and Don Morocco, two number three seeds, are still in this thing? Any surprises there? Really?
I'm very surprised.
Well, I mean, Don Morocco faced off against Diesel. Diesel's really not known for being an Intercontinental Champion, but Don Morocco, same position as Tito Santana. I mean, yes, people may know him for his tag team, as Strike Force. Not too many people really know him as an Intercontinental Champion. Probably even less people know him as a tag champ with Ivan Putski. So, not really surprised. I mean, Kevin Owens, is he really known as an IC champ either? I don't think so.
See, here's where I don't understand why, because there was a time where like Brock Lesnar was never on TV and they had no choice but to make the IC title the top title on Raw. And that's where guys like Miz and Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns stepped up, making that title better again. So to me, that was a pretty important moment or time in history for the Intercontinental Championship, because before that, there really was nothing. And I'm not sure. Don Morocco and Tito Santana might be the better Intercontinental Champions, but I'm surprised that they won.
I'm surprised that The Miz got bounced. I said it in my video this afternoon, and I think it plays into the Cody thing too, why Cody advanced. Miz definitely took the IC title and brought it to a level that we haven't seen as fans since the late 80s, mid-90s. Miz elevated the IC title, and then Cody bringing back that IC title, anyone from the 80s and the 90s like just love that. So that may have factored in. Also, Cody's hot with AEW, and I don't think a lot of people are familiar with Valentine's run. What I am really interested in seeing is the Honky Tonk Man and Triple H, because those two are probably the two most hated people in wrestling when it comes to fans. So Honky Tonk just got by the skin of his teeth. And the same thing with Benoit. I mean, both of them 56% to 44%. I think they were the closest in the round of 32. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens here in the round of 16.
I'm very curious to see how this Tito Santana Chris Benoit match is gonna pan out. I'm really curious to see how that, because like on one hand it's like, well, people have been supporting Tito Santana, quite favorably through the tournament, but for some reason Chris Benoit's been getting a lot of love too. So I don't know about those two, but another one that's interesting, Macho Man versus The Rock. Now, these are two guys that went on to be like multi-time world champions, but both known for their Intercontinental title runs as well. So, curious to see how that one's going to play out. Very, very, very interesting matchup. Of course, we get a rematch of Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper to round out the Marvelous Mark side of things. Don Morocco and Razor Ramon, thoughts? I have a feeling Razor Ramon's going to run away with this one, but
I like The Rock in this.
Look, I do too. But let's be realistic here. People these days, especially, Intercontinental title synonymous with Razor Ramon. Come on.
I mean, yeah, rightfully so. But I'm, I think I'm leaning with The Rock, Don Morocco here. And I don't know why I said his name like that in the video. So don't ask me. I don't have an answer.
And don't forget, Don Morocco was not The Rock at this point. He was the Magnificent One. He wouldn't become The Rock until like WrestleMania 4, around that time when he paired up with your woman's favorite wrestler, superstar Billy Graham.
God damn it. And I was really disappointed with the whole Jeff Hardy Booker T matchup. I just didn't want – Booker T shouldn't have fucking been there. It should have been goddamn Shelton Benjamin, and that pissed me off. Fucking Jeff Hardy, guess what? He's made the Sweet 16 in every fucking tournament we've run.
The Hardys are fucking popular, dude. The Hardys, like, connected, like, the past to the present. You know, they've been there forever, and they're still around, both of them. Mr. Perfect Jeff Hardy's going to be interesting. Cody Rhodes and Shawn Michaels is going to be a good one, I think, too. But the other one to look at, two guys that are in AEW right now, Chris Jericho and Goldust. Come on, dude. We got some great matchups coming in this round of 16. The Sweet 16, daddy.
It's coming in hot. All our one seeds are still there. The Miz is the first two seed to get bounced. It's an exciting time. The as I said in the video, if you haven't watched it, sign up to our YouTube, youtube.com Shining Wizards. Is that our YouTube?
It's not Shining Wizards, I think. Just search the Shining Wizards on YouTube. You'll find it.
And there, check.
We're, We're in the ether. Go ahead. Yeah,
check out that video. It's about 20 minutes long. I threw it together this afternoon. It kind of breaks down all the matchups, and Tony did some crazy good-looking brackets. So we got that all set up. So that takes place this Wednesday. It starts. All 8 matches are dropping on Facebook and Twitter. So make sure you're voting. You're voting on both forums. And you're chatting us up on Facebook, on Twitter, and the Discord, which has been a huge success so far. We talk everything wrestling, and then we talk everything unrelated to wrestling. So definitely check out the Discord. There's a link on our Facebook and our Twitter, and we post it on the regular.
Roddy Piper is a 14 seed. Do you think there's something to the 14 seeds? Because don't forget, Hanson and Brody were a 14 seed, and they made the Final Four in the Wizards Cup. Who knows? Crazier things have happened. Roddy Piper shouldn't have gotten this far, to be honest with you. So who knows?
I agree. I'm very surprised he beat the Warrior in the first round. I'm borderline outraged about that, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, it is what it is. This is what we do. It sparks some interest. It gets the conversations going, and it's good times. I'm enjoying the shit out of this.
No, absolutely. And it's a nice distraction for everything that's going on in the world, even if it takes you a couple, you know, even if it only takes you out of the nonsense for a couple minutes, at least we can say that we did that for you. Yeah, just have fun with it. Chat up, people. I mean, the conversation's been great on our Facebook page, and I've been interacting with a ton of people on Twitter. So things are looking good. I'm excited for this. We're going into the Sweet 16. We're still in quarantine, though. We're making the best out of the situation. We got the hot mic up and running, if you're just tuning in. Royce Isaacs should be joining us shortly.
He's right behind me. What are you talking about?
That is hysterical, by the
way. We're social distancing at the outdoor arena. This is where they're going to be taping all the new episodes of NWA Power at my house in the yard.
Carneyland? Is your house Carneyland?
I cannot wait to see what Carneyland is. Was that tonight?
Tomorrow, tonight? I thought. Is that tonight?
Fuck, isn't Power on Mondays or is it on Tuesdays? I don't even remember. I don't even know what fucking day it is, to be honest with you.
Power is on Tuesdays.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, then what was on tonight? Oh, MLW? No, MLW's not even on Mondays anymore. What the fuck is on Mondays? Raw?
Raw.
Jesus.
Right, because that last Power that we watched last week, that was the go home. That was supposed to be the go home for the Crockett Cup, right?
Good stuff, by the way. Very good stuff.
Excellent.
Did you get
stuff.
A chance to watch it?
I did watch it.
They slopped and flopped in like the stuff with Camille, which they had run a couple of weeks before or whatever it was. However, lots of good shit on there, man. We got to see Jack Stain make his NWA Power debut against Tim Storm. We had a bunch of tag matches. We had Villain Enterprises there. Your boy Brody King was in the house. Good stuff, man. Good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into it more when Royce Isaacs joins us momentarily. So, NWA Power. It's nice to see them back on the TV show. Once I heard the chords to Unbroken, I was like, oh, I fucking miss the NWA so much.
Very good stuff. Very good stuff. And even continuing stories with the women, we got the recap with Melina and Thunder Rosa, and she's going to be challenging Thunder Rosa. Well, supposed to be challenging Thunder Rosa at the Crockett Cup. So still interesting shit going on, man. And this Carneyland, I can't wait. I cannot wait. I'm all in with the NWA. You know this.
I do know that. It'll be interesting to see what this Carneyland is all about and how this plays out. We saw Tasha Steele's on Power, and then she signed with Impact. And now joining us on the hot mic and the Skype, he is one half of the Wild Cards, former NWA Tag Team Champion, member of the most dominant faction in professional wrestling, Strictly Business, the one and only Royce Isaacs. Royce, how are you?
What's up, y'all? Hell yeah. Thanks for having me on. I love the background. That's great.
Well, how are you holding up during this quarantine?
Man, overall, I can't complain. I'm staying safe, working out, doing all my, my home workouts. The home gym is getting used, staying on my diet really hard. We've just started kind of creating some content, as you probably have noticed on the NWA page. We're coming out with some stuff here coming up. So there's certain things I kind of got to keep in the bag and certain things that I can talk a little more about, but I'm super excited for some of that content to come out and to, keep providing for the fans and everything like that.
As you joined the call, we were just going over NWA Superpower. From a standpoint of a performer, how upsetting is it that this all happened? Because the build to the Crockett Cup was amazing. And you guys being in the Crockett Cup last year, you and Thomas, I mean, how much of a bummer is that for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's rough because, you know, we are, you know, a tag team, and that is the tag team event. So it's like to have that ripped out from us, especially we had already done all of the build. And then this happens. It was really tough. It wasn't like, oh, this is like 6 months away. It was like, we've already done all the groundwork. We've laid it out. It's ready to go. All we had to do was, you know, do the Crockett Cup. So that was a huge bummer for me. That was a huge bummer for our whole crew. Like, I know everyone was really excited because first time outside of GPB for NWA for power tapings and everything. And, you know, I know our fans were really let down. So it's like, you know, What can you say, man? That's just a really tough time for everyone involved, you know?
No, absolutely. We definitely, like I said, we were talking about NWA before. The minute Tuesday night Unbroken came on, I was like, God damn, I missed the NWA. But we're excited for Carnyland, whatever that is. Excited to see the direction they go. I feel like Billy Corgan is a very creative man, so it'll be interesting to see the direction that they go in. Before we talk wrestling with you, though, I'm just going to get to the meat and the potatoes here.
Yeah.
You're starting a bi-weekly True Crime podcast, and this is
this is
in my wheelhouse, as all I do is watch the ID channel when I'm not watching wrestling. Give us a little backstory behind this.
So without giving away too much, basically, it's myself and Maureen Tracy, who is the director of operations for the NWA. We both kind of have this true crime passion, and this is stuff that since the first time we worked together, you know, going back a year ago, we were already just like as friends, we had the same kind of, I guess, taste in terms of programs and true crime stuff. So even before, kind of the situation of us all kind of being on lockdown and trying to find different ways to put ourselves out there. I mean, I've always kind of been interested in having some kind of a true crime podcast type of thing, just because I spend so much of my time already consuming these things. It's something that's really, really interesting to me. So, you know, obviously there's been a lot of, like, we just talked about the Crockett Cup getting canceled and that sucks, but it has, you know, the Corona deal has given me a chance to, you know, I guess, try to diversify and do something I've always wanted to do. I'm excited. Some of the details I can't confirm as of yet, but I know that the first episode should be out in the next like week or so, give or take. The first episode's on Bible John, which is like one of the most infamous Scottish unsolved serial murder cases. I think it's pretty interesting. It's something I've always kind of wanted to know more about. So it was a really fun experience to get to research that and then do a podcast about it. I don't know. I really actually enjoyed it more than I even kind of thought I would. The actual act of, I've always only been on this side of the podcast where I'm being interviewed versus like being like this, I have pages of notes and this is what I'm presenting and I'm trying to be entertaining and whatnot. But I thought it went really well. I'm interested to see what the fan feedback is. And yeah, I mean, like, silver lining, if I get something cool out of this whole lockdown deal that I can start doing that I'm really passionate about. You know, it didn't feel like I was working when I was doing work on the podcast, because, you know, it's like stuff that I would be watching anyways and stuff that I was really interested in. Just only difference is I was taking some notes and obviously diving a little bit deeper, which honestly kind of made me enjoy it more, kind of getting more in depth and really forcing myself to like put myself in the head of this guy and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. I am fascinated by murder. I may have said some things in the past where I have a spot in my house that's really cold and I could probably store a body there, but if that ever happens, you guys didn't hear that on this podcast.
Oh, before I go any further, Anomalia is the name of the podcast. Before I'm just ranting and raving about it and people are like, that's great, but what is it, you know, how do we find it? There's a Twitter and a Instagram for it already. Anomalia, like anomaly, but in Greek, because we're being bougie about it and whatnot. But that's on Twitter and on Instagram. So give us a follow and definitely keep a lookout for that first episode dropping.
Yeah, at Anomaly Podcast is the handle. This is a weird question because everyone always thinks I'm like being very blunt about it. Do you have a favorite serial killer?
Yeah, so I get what you mean. It's always, you have to kind of ride a line between, like, when you say, like, I'll say, yeah, like, I have a favorite serial killer. But, like, when you say favorite serial killer, you don't really mean that. You just mean, like, is there one that you enjoyed the story of?
Yeah, like, you're like, super fascinated.
You and I get what we're talking about. I just, like, I want to break it down for viewers who might be thinking, what's wrong with these sick freaks who are like, yeah, my favorite's the sickest one. Like, no, like, favorite as in, like, the person that this story is most gripping or whatever. For me, is Carl Panzram, just because if you look at his history, while he committed a horrendous act that you can't ever forgive, you kind of get you understand the culture that kind of birthed such a sick fuck out of it, or a sick freak out of it, excuse me. Like, you get the vibe of, like, this is what created this man or this monster. It's interesting how he robbed a former acting president, you know, like, to get revenge years after being sentenced to jail. Like, he was super vengeful and vindictive, and, like, there's something, and, you know, he has a sweet mustache and muscles, so I can relate to that. So, like, you know.
Not everyone can pull off the mustache. I'm just going to put that out there. Mustaches can be creepy. Like, I can't do a mustache. I can do a beard. I don't think Kevin can do a mustache either. Tony's got this weird chin strap thing going on. He looks a little ridiculous, but
I can't do a mustache at all. I got, like, a bald spot here, a bald spot there. It's pathetic.
Royce, do you listen to any other true crime podcasts?
Yeah, no, actually, I listen to quite a few. I would say the main ones that I'm really into are Crime and Sports. I'm a big fan of. I listen every week. And Last Podcast on the Left, I'm a pretty regular listener of. There's a few that I've messed around with a little bit in quarantine that are, like, shorter, just, like, series. Like, they're not, like, a weekly whatever. Like, I just finished Happy Face, which is about the Happy Face Killer, which was pretty good. And then Root of Evil, which is about George Hodel. And then The Clearing, which was Edward Edwards. And those were all three. I recommend those series. They're pretty, like, compact. Like, they're all 8 to 12 episodes. And, like, you'll go through it real quick. But those are all really interesting subjects. But yeah, I'm always, like, if I'm doing something and I can be listening to something, I listen to a lot of podcasts, music, all that kind of stuff, because I'm always go, go, go. If I'm, you know, working out, I want to be listening to something while I'm working out. If I'm driving somewhere or whatever, or, you know, working on something, I'm always, I got something going in my head. But it just, I feel like it's almost like maybe a little, like, ADD, like, keeping me just, like, focused on something, slash, like, having something in the background, you know?
Absolutely. I would highly recommend My Favorite Murder, too, which is...
My Favorite Murder is a good one. I caught a few episodes. It's just hard to have a bunch that you all commit to on a weekly basis, and I feel like if I was going to listen to that one, I would, like, listen to it, like, on a committed basis. But they're Karen and I can't remember the other lady's name. They're really funny. Like,
Georgia.
Their
Karen and Georgia.
Yeah.
They do a great job. I know... Back when quarantine started, you were looking to do podcasts and talk murder, and I shared with you all my coasters that we have on the table downstairs, which are all serial killer mugshots, which is...
Sold me right there.
It's fantastic. And I'm, like, borderline, like, I kind of want to, like... I collect a lot of shit, as you can see behind me. I have a lot of action figures. Me and my wife were looking to decorate the house, and it was kind of like, oh, maybe we should get some art from, like, a serial killer and hang it in our... Don't shake your head over there. I'm just fascinated by, like Ted Bundy's one of my favorites.
Absolutely.
Just because of, like, the time, and, like, he was never thought to be a serial killer because, like, Manson and Berkowitz, and everyone had this preconceived notion that that's what a serial killer looks like. And then here is this handsome guy for the 70s, I guess. I don't know. My wife, every time she sees him, is like, he's really not that handsome. And I'm like, yeah, look, you married me. Yeah. But it's just fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. The unsolved murders, those are ones that really aggravate me. I read a book about the yogurt shop murders in Texas, and it's like every police force in the 80s and 90s were a bunch of bumbling fucking morons. It pisses me off. Sorry, I'm fired up about this.
No, we're good. Oh, so we're good on cursing. I wasn't sure if it was live, if we could curse or not.
Oh, yeah,
That's why
you can curse.
Oh, well, the fuck yeah, then. Let's fucking do it.
What does the yogurt killer do? Like, he just goes into yogurt shops and kills people? Does he drown them in a vat of yogurt? Like, what's the story?
No. There was a yogurt shop in Texas in the 90s, and it was all these two teenage girls were closing up, and their two friends were there waiting for them, and somebody went in and murdered all four of them and tried to burn the place to the ground, and they never found the killer, but the police messed up the whole investigation. They didn't dust for fingerprints. They didn't do any of that stuff. It's a lot. You see a lot of similarities with a lot of these high-profile crimes where, you know, the police are just, they have an agenda and they stick to that agenda. You saw it with the West Memphis 3. You saw it with the Central Park 5. They just, eyes are on the prize and nothing else can change that.
You know, I was following the West Memphis 3 and I never realized the whole reason they got out was because they copped to something, because one of them was like really sick while they were in prison. Was that the story?
What they had to do was sign an Alford plea, because basically West Memphis didn't want to admit that they were in the wrong. So an Alford plea is admitting that you're not admitting you're guilty, but you're not saying you're not guilty. You're saying that the state could prove you were guilty if you went to court, but they're not going to court and they're just letting it go. So it's like this weird kind of almost like similar to like a, I don't know. You get off, but you have to admit that you would be found guilty in court, which they all were. Obviously, but like under weird circumstances. And then like, I don't know if you know, but like them getting out was also a big part of like Pearl Jam was putting on, like that's who put on the documentary series and put on these concerts for them year after year. Like, I don't think Pearl Jam is expecting they were going to be putting on concerts for 20 years to get the West Memphis 3 out. And then all of a sudden it's like they're stuck. And now all these other celebrities and big time musicians were like banding in. And then A Paradise Lost is what the documentary series is called. But, like, I think there's three or four of them now that, like, finally they all got out and whatnot.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. There's Paradise Lost. There's three of them on HBO. And then there's a ton, like, just recently that have been on the ID channel. And they've been out for a couple years now. Tony, if you listen to the Opie podcast, Opie had Damien on it, Damien Eccles, because he lives in New York now.
Shout out to May Valentine interviewed Damien Eccles for, I want to say, like Brazilian Rolling Stone back in the day, way before the NWA stuff. She like got a cover article with Brazilian Rolling Stone by interviewing Damien Eccles. So I think they're like still friendly and they talk.
That is awesome. I'm surprised you speak so highly of May, considering everything that's going on with the old
ball and chain.
Yeah, well, I mean, Salvanaro's got hair like a rat. I mean, come on now.
He sure does. Yeah, I mean, things are, you know, up and down. But, you know, for the most part, other than the Sal part, you know, everything's going all right. Other than, you know, obviously quarantined away from each other, and that sucks.
But I mean, look at you guys. You guys are so happy.
Look how happy we look. Yeah, look at that. Look, you can't fake that. Look at that. Just smiles galore. Looking great. Next to our favorite place, the ring. I mean, yeah, you can't.
Now, how?
I also like that when you lean back, your head like sinks into us. It looks good.
There you go. It's kind of like buddies. It's like, hey, he's
a yeah. It's like all three of us. See, she could be friends with you, just not Sal. So you're being cool about it. You're just being chill, vibing.
Do you feel any remorse for causing her to lose 100 followers on Twitter?
No. She's got some good followers. She's okay. She'll get those. She probably has her 100 back that she lost out on. I need to get my follow game up, you know? I need to get on her level.
Well, if you guys aren't following Royce, you want to follow him at Royce Isaacs on Twitter and Instagram. Former NWA Tag Team Champion, one half of the Wild Cards, member of the most dominant force in professional wrestling, Strictly Business. He's talking to us here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. He's got a podcast coming out bi-weekly. If you're a fan of murder, true crime, stuff like that, the Animalia podcast, at Animalia podcast on Twitter and Instagram. The first episode's dropping in a couple weeks. Kevin, you got something?
So you mentioned a bunch of these serial killer, like, where it seems like there's like more than one of them, like what was it, the three you guys were just talking about and the ones before that. To me, they sound like all failed wrestling stables as opposed to what you got going on in NWA Power. So why did my banner falls down behind me? So what makes Strictly Business so successful as opposed to these guys that just couldn't get the job done?
Yeah, no, Strictly Business is a lot better than the West Memphis 3. So far, we have not spent any time in jail, so that's a positive. Somehow. No, I shouldn't say that. That sounds – they've already been – West Memphis 3 has been tortured enough, those poor guys. But you know what I mean? Like, we're the NWA 4 right now, and you know, we're blazing our path through, and I'm loving doing all the Strictly business stuff. Like, I think we have a really good vibe as a faction, and the fans seem to really be responding to it. That's another thing that, like, we just started getting that really going, and then everything kind of hit. So it's, you know, that's another thing that's tough, is it's like, I feel like we were all kind of finding our groove together and just getting Strictly business started, and then, you know, we kind of had to put a quick halt to it.
Well, I guess the tag team name of you and Lattimore says it the best. You were the Wild Cards, and somehow it gelled and kept going and going, and the momentum hit, you know, and they called this, and you guys just completely gelled together. How difficult is that to do in professional wrestling? Is it harder than people think, or is it easier than people think once you guys are all are on the same page?
You know, every situation's a little bit different, because it always depends on just how well you vibe. Like, I've had people that I've worked with in the past that, like, maybe we got along really well, but on screen, chemistry-wise, it wasn't natural, or it took a little while to find our groove. I think that, luckily for me and Tom, and luckily for me, Tom and Camille, like, I think we all have similar mindsets, and it was easy for us to kind of jive and, like, I mean, Nick and Tom have been homies, best homies for forever. So, like, they already kind of had that. Like, that was already kind of established. And then me and Tom already had something. So it was almost like we had to just kind of put the pieces of the house together. We already had the four walls or whatever, you know?
Do outside of the ring habits contribute to the chemistry inside the ring? Like, clearly you guys all like to work out. Are there any other similarities between you guys outside of the ring that help you bond and create this chemistry that just seems so natural inside the studio?
Honestly, like, the first thing that came to my mind, number one, is our senses of humor. We all have the same senses of humor. We all shit on the same stuff. Like, we all find the same stuff funny. So it's just, like, easy. Like, when you have that kind of connection, I feel like that's, for better or worse, that's one of the deeper human connections you can have with someone. Like, that's one of those,
Name some of the things that you shit on.
Absolutely not. We're live.
Wrestling podcasts.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Hey, Nick's been a guest on this podcast. He wouldn't shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ. What?
I booked Nick Aldis for your birthday as the main attraction. How dare you?
He lived up. Look,
World Heavyweight Champion, you're shitting on there.
I'm not shitting on him. He lived up to the hype. He was main event and more.
Great guest.
He was awesome. He just talked a lot. Not like Scotty Riggs. Scotty Riggs
don't shut the fuck up.
No, we did like a 3-hour interview with Scotty Riggs. You want to have somebody talk your fucking balls off? Scotty Riggs, your guy.
So are there any tag team wrestlers that you appreciate more now than you're solidified in this tag team role? That maybe you see differently now than maybe you did watching?
You know, I don't know about anyone that, you know, like that I specifically, just because of my role, that like I feel that way about. But, like, I mean, there's plenty of people that I think are killing it right now in the tag team game that are, you know, just top tier and amazing. Like, the Bucks have been doing it for, you know, over 10 years now, and, like, they're always finding ways to reinvent themselves at a high level in ring performance wise. So they're pretty amazing. I've been a really big fan of, you know, LAX. Like, I think that they work together really well. That's like a dream match, like, you know, quite obviously. The OG Club, I think they're, you know, if you look at the past 10 years, it's hard to find a team that's been as dominant through different promotions. And, like, that's someone that, like, that's a no brainer. Like, me and Tom versus the Club would, I mean, that'd be hot fire. But, I mean, at the same time, it's also really hard. Like, the Gorillas of Destiny are amazing. So it's like there's two tag teams in the Bullet Club that are, I mean, on another level that I would love to get in there with.
I feel like you could have literally gone on for like an hour. Just
I realized that I could have just kept naming. Yeah, you exactly. Could,
like, yeah.
Now this isn't, but the Wild Cards is not your first foray in tag team wrestling. You were in the one percenters, and you've done a lot of stuff on the West Coast. How does your bond with Tom make things different versus all your past tag team partners?
Yeah, I mean, I've always, throughout my entire career, actually done quite a bit of singles and tag teaming. I've always enjoyed art of being a singles wrestler, but at the same time, I have a big respect. I think that tag team and singles are different in, like, there's really obvious ways that they're the same, but there's like an art to them that can be very different at times. You know, me and Tom, I feel like there's just like a different kind of vibe with us. I get it. Like, you know, I feel like you could just kind of look at us and be like, okay, cool. Like there's the ass kickers or whatever. And, I've really enjoyed tagging with him, and obviously getting to hold the NWA Tag Team Championships is, you know, that run was, you know, it still kind of doesn't even quite register with me because it was that kind of like unreal kind of feeling. But, you know, I just want to get him back. You know, that's our biggest goal right now. Obviously, Crockett Cup was going to be an opportunity to do that, which we, you know, it seems like we – at first, I know it was canceled. Now it seems like it might just be delayed. I don't know what the plan is coming back. But I obviously, my first order of business is getting back to the gold, you know?
Now, last year's Crockett Cup 2019 was where we first saw the wild cards. And that was in the From the Ashes Rise the Phoenix, the NWA. We saw what was going on. And then Villain Enterprise, obviously, with the NWA tag titles from the Crockett Cup. But you guys entered into that battle royal, and you won yourself a qualifier match. You beat you beat the War Kings, and then you beat Flip and Bandito in the second round to get to Villain Enterprises. Now, you mentioned that you and Tom are friends and you guys are in your crew. Did you guys come to the NWA with this idea to be a tag team, or did they kind of want to stick you guys together?
No, it was more of the vibe where we kind of had was almost like two mercenaries, like just two like mercenaries that just happened to be on the same job, that it made sense since we needed a team anyways to kind of team it up. You know what I mean? It's like, we're going to have to do this in a pair anyways. And it seemed like we're the two biggest, baddest mercenaries on the job that can kind of, you know, have a shot at this. It worked out a lot better than obviously we could have ever hoped for. You know, we wanted that W at the end of the day, the Crockett Cup and the titles outright for, you know, on the first night would have been amazing. But, you know, when you look at, we had the battle royal, we had the quarterfinals, semifinals, and then finals. It's like we wrestled four times in one night and, you know, made it all the way to the finals our first time tagging together. So, you know, it's not the end result you want, but at the same time, you know, that's a pretty damn successful first night. And I think it set the kind of the tone for the rest of our run.
At what point did yourself, Lattimore, or for, you know, the entire locker room realize that, hey, the NWA is back? Because obviously, like, that whole locker room, students of the game, they know what the NWA means to professional wrestling. At what point was it, right from the beginning, or did it take a little bit to realize, wow, this NWA has legs and this is the real deal?
For me, it was immediately. It was more of an interesting thing to watch, knowing me in the first night with Crockett Cup, and going like, oh yeah, there's definitely something here, but also realizing that like the public and everyone else wasn't going to be able to see it quite yet. And then small things were happening, you know, eventually, you know, we had a spot for Power, we had dates for Power started. So it's like eventually a general audience was able to see, oh my goodness, this thing really has legs to it. But I mean, already before we even did Crockett Cup, we already kind of obviously been talking about long-term where things could go. And I mean, yeah, that first night, you know, doing the Crockett Cup 2019, I already saw there was a lot of potential there. And I was just like, yeah, like let's run with this thing. Let's do it.
And how does that make you guys feel knowing that NWA is now Destination Wrestling? Power is Destination Wrestling.
Yeah, man. No, it's been really cool, man. I feel like we have like the new hottest show right now, and people have been really responding well. And we have legitimately, we've created some unique, different kinds of wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, we're not just trying to be the same as everyone else. And I think it's been a while since there's been that kind of like breath of fresh air, or, you know, this is an actual alternative. Like, this is different. So it's been cool, man.
No, I think it's hit a home run too, especially with us older wrestling fans who kind of grew up with the NWA and studio wrestling. But you mentioned the characters too. You know, you bring in the guys like Damian Sandow, and he's now Shooter Stevens, and the question mark is so over. And even Strictly Business and all the work you've been doing with the Rock and Roll Express as a student of the game, how much does that mean to you that you've gotten to spend so much time with Ricky and Robert?
Yeah, I mean, me and Tom have only been teaming for a year now when you think about it, really. And wow. Part of the time has been in quarantine, but it seems like it's been longer. And I think part of that is when you get to wrestle the Rock and Roll Express and then you get to do like full programs. Like we wrestled them quite a few times. So at this point, it's like we almost got like a, you know, like a master class in tag team wrestling. You know what I mean? Like it's like we got to study under, you know, it's like this is like the best, the highest level internship you're going to get in terms of how to be, you know, a successful tag team. So, you know, we were learning on the job, certainly, comparatively to, you know, how you would normally want to do that. But I personally, I felt like, you know, you either fall or you fly, you know what I mean? So you just jump right in. But yeah, to answer your point, it's been awesome to really get like legends like that and to get to pick their brains and learn from them.
Do you see yourself still wrestling when you reach Ricky and Robert's age in 2020? Because it's remarkable. If you've seen them, you've seen them with you guys in the ring. Them against the Briscoes is one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen. And them on the New Japan tour when they came around the States, they're in their like 60s, and Ricky Morton's hitting fucking Canadian destroyers on people. It's unbelievable. It's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, I've never been a person to put myself like at a cutoff of when I hit 40, I'm done, or when I hit whatever. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to the idea of still wrestling at that time, assuming that my body's, you know, feeling good, sports science and everything's there, so that I'm, you know, I can perform and I'm okay. I would like to be involved in wrestling for the rest of my life in some fashion, whether if maybe I'm not still, you know, performing at 63, I believe, 64. If I get that wrong, I'd better say too young. 61 will go definitely too young. If I'm still performing at that time, then I hope that I'm still able to do it at a high level. But if not, then I would love to be like, you know, training people or doing something where I, you know, agenting or something where I could still be involved with the sport.
When you guys won those NWA tag titles, was it a little sweeter that you did it in a Ring of Honor ring?
I mean, gosh, I couldn't even feel my face at that time. As soon as I heard the three count, it was just like, oh, man. I don't know. It could have been on the moon, and I would have been, you know, through the roof happy about it. But, I mean, it's definitely cool. Like, Ring of Honor, obviously, is a promotion that has an amazing amount of history throughout times. And I have a lot of respect for that locker room, you know, their talent. And, yeah, getting to wrestle, you know, Brody and PCO for the titles and then winning was pretty amazing.
If you had to hypothetically say pick somebody in the locker room who would be a serial killer, you wouldn't be surprised if you saw them on the ID channel. Is there anyone? Because I know a bunch of people. I walk by people or I deal with people all day, and I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if that came out one day and I was watching the ID channel and I found out you had a bunch of bodies in your trunk. Is there anyone that you've ever shared a locker room where you're like, that guy, he's creepy?
Well, I mean, plenty, because it's wrestling.
So of course.
Always fun. I think that my good friend Caleb Conley is just a little too quiet, and he scares me. I think he could totally have, like, if he had 35 bodies in his freezer and they just found that one day, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And the other person that I'll say, and I say this with love and respect, I think that Shooter Stevens, there's something about his deep eyes that can stare, that there's something trapped. You know, he's a lovely human being. He's never been anything but cool to me, but somewhere deep down in there, like, I can see he has that dark side, you know?
That's awesome. That's hysterical. It's just funny to, it's not fun. The situation wouldn't be funny if it ever came to fruition, but it's funny.
It's only funny because it's not going to happen.
Right.
We really hope.
Yes.
We really if it ever does, we will have to take this podcast down because we will look like terrible human beings that we're like, ha-ha, Caleb Conley murdered someone, and then it happens.
No, murder is not.
I never thought I'd hear on this show, Caleb Conley murdered someone.
Now you heard it twice.
Murder is not funny, people. Let's be serious here. But it is fascinating. I highly recommend the Ted Bundy book and the Michelle McNamara Golden State Killer book, both fascinating stories. Sure. And, of course, I'm sure in time, Royce will cover that on his biweekly true crime podcast, Animalia Podcast, at Animalia Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. First episode's coming in the next couple weeks, and it will be bi-weekly, him and Maureen from the NWA. NWA Maureen, if you want to follow her on Twitter. What are you hoping for with this quarantine? How soon are you... I know the answer would probably be immediately, but, like, realistically, how soon would you like to get back into the wrestling ring? And do you have a preference of wrestling in front of fans or no fans? Because that seems to be a trend that we might be going in.
I mean, obviously the preference would be if you can have fans to wrestle for fans. I think at this point, as long as it's in the right environment and safe and we can demonstrate that things aren't getting worse, you know, I don't know when that'll be, when I'll feel comfortable where performing, but whether it was with fans or without fans, you know, I would like to be back obviously sooner than later, but you have to be precautious. If we can get back to wrestling this year, I'll be happy, especially if that means that there's no bad second wave of people getting sick or, you know, like things seem to be getting better. Things seem to be opening up a little bit. So obviously, like, entertainment wise, that's the kind of the last thing. Like, we don't need wrestling to survive. Like, if there's economic problems, it's not because wrestling isn't, you know, in the state that it's in right now and whatnot. So I would imagine we're going to be one of the last things that kind of opens up and starts back up again. But hopefully, you know, I would really like to continue to have to actually wrestle and perform in a ring in 2020. I think there's a really good shot of that. I think that's a pretty conservative guesstimate to be able to conceivably wrestle this year. We'll see, I guess.
Fingers crossed. We're all hoping and jonesing for it because, like I said, we got that taste last Tuesday, that NWA superpower, and man, we are missing it bad. What's the weirdest at home workout that you find yourself doing?
You know, I have a degree in kinesiology, so I do a lot of strange workout. Like, I like to get creative and kind of mix it up for myself in terms of, like, I don't just want to do a million squats or whatever. Strangest. That's a really good question. I mean, some of the band workouts I do are kind of weird because I'm lacing bands around different parts and walking around or whatever. But I don't think there's anything, like, too weird. Like, I'm not, you know, reinventing the wheel. There's no cybernetic floating head scissors lifts or something, you know?
Fair enough. There's nothing that you go outside, and if your neighbors are outside, you're like, I got to go back inside. I can't do this right now.
If I had to do something like that, it would have to be like a really, really, really good workout. Like there has to be some really good reason. Like, oh, this is going to make your shoulders grow 2 inches in 3 months if you do this. Because, like, why... you could just do a shoulder press. Like, why would you need to, like, I like getting creative, but I don't like just doing stuff just to do stuff. Like, if I'm just upside down just to be upside down, why am I, you know?
Why are you upside down, right? Gotcha.
Why am I upside down, yeah.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. Royce, it's been a pleasure. Before we let Royce go, gentlemen, anything else for Mr. Isaacs?
I just want to know, who impresses you right now in the NWA? Like, you've been around it for a few years now. Who in the locker room? Like, I know it seems like the NWA is a party. And I never miss an episode. I'm really – actually, two questions then. Who impresses you right now that's in the NWA? Maybe somebody that's up and coming. You know, somebody maybe it's only been in the business a handful of years. And two, can you let us in on anything that's going to happen with this Carny Land that starts this week?
All right, so part one, people that I think are really crushing it at NWA. I just want to make sure I get the...
Yeah,
okay,
somebody that's, like, you see, like, has just come out the box and, like, is making a name for themselves. Somebody, like, you know, you got your eye on, let's say.
I mean, I definitely think... I mean, this seems like the obvious answer, but I think Zicky Dice is someone that's really made a good impression that people have their eyes on. He's someone that I certainly would like to work with. I think our characters would have an interesting interaction, and hopefully I get that gets to happen soon, you know, because I think he's money and I think I'm money, so.
Absolutely.
Oh, Carny Land, you'll know more tomorrow. I'm sorry to make you wait, but literally, it's Tuesday is tomorrow, brother.
No, I tell you.
You're going to love it, though. Give it a shot. You'll see. I think we're going to all find out together just how wild it is.
And it's the truth. You could ask Matt. You could ask Kevin, my co-host. I've never missed a week of NWA Power. I haven't missed that. Even the and I forget the name of the show, and I'm embarrassed. But like, even like the tryouts when Luke Hawks was there with his kid.
Circle Squared.
Yes, that was it. When George South came in with Colby Carino, when you had the young ladies coming in there. I've never missed an episode yet. Rented all the pay-per-views. Bummed that I had to get my money back for the Crockett Cup 2020, but I can't wait to plunk it down again, man.
And Royce, just to specify and elaborate on what Tony said, not only does he watch every episode, he watches it as soon as it drops and doesn't give either one of us a chance to watch it later before he
gets immediately just texting spoilers.
I could be
flowing in the group text.
Me watching it live, forget it.
He might be your next serial killer because it takes no time.
That might be it.
Before we let you know, go, Royce. Billy Corgan.
Yes.
Everyone knows him. He's the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins, behind that whole brand.
Hey, wait. William Patrick Corgan. Come on.
I don't know him like you do. I'm sorry. My apologies, Tony.
Come on. That's how I know him, man. First initial basis.
I know him as the, you know, the guy from Smashing Pumpkins. Are you surprised at his wealth of wrestling knowledge and the way that he, you know, took the NWA and kind of turned it into what it is today?
You know, when you're not familiar with this situation, I think that it's a little surprising. Like, when I first found out, I guess probably it must have been, like, whenever he first started messing around with TNA back, like, at the end of TNA / when it was beginning with Impact. But even then, I mean, that must have been 3-4 years ago at this point. Even then, I remember I looked into it, and I'd seen that he'd actually done work on the indies in Chicago already and everything. I was like, oh, like, instantly I was like, okay, no. This is a guy that is, like, into wrestling. Not like, oh, like, I'm just vacationing here and I just saw this. Like, this is a guy that grew up, has been into it, and is, like, has a passion for it. So even really before he actually even bought the NWA, I kind of already saw, like, okay, yeah, like, this is a guy that's really, like, about it.
Yeah, he did the, what was it, Revolution Pro in Chicago, something like that?
Yeah.
It was something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's fantastic.
He also appeared for ECW back in the day, the original ECW, not Matt's favorite WWE.
No, don't
ECW.
Don't you motherfucker, I swear to God. The WWE version of ECW is not ECW. I will drive to your house and I will stab you in the neck.
And you thought I was the serial killer on the show? Are you serious?
Because fucking Vince McMahon is not an ECW champion. Either is Bobby Lashley. I don't know why you got to fucking push my buttons with this shit. The two of you. Don't cover your fucking face. This is your fault. Who's an ECW superstar? Fucking Gene Snitsky, Bobby Lashley. You motherfuckers.
Just wanted our guest to know what he was dealing with tonight and who you really are. That's all.
I might be the next serial killer. It's very possible.
Come on, I need a laugh. Come on.
I got a lot of woods out there. I'll bury a body in a heartbeat. Not all at once, though. You got to cut it up and move it around.
That's good. Now I have more. Next podcast, I'll know who to cover. I got some,
that's
some
it.
Material already.
Well, it's, you can't cover me until I get caught.
Good thing
nobody listens to this thing.
Hey, that's not true.
Awful. I bury him, he buries the show. I like how this works. Good God. Yeah, that's it. Laugh. I hope you fall back in your chair and knock all your figures over.
Nah, I got some space here. Royce, before we let you go,
again,
anything you want to leave the fans with?
No, just obviously stay safe, stay healthy, and be smart through all this COVID madness. Follow me at Royce Isaacs on Instagram and Twitter, at Anomalia Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You know, give us some love. Just watch a YouTube video if you liked it. You know, buy some merch for me, whatever, what have you. I should have a new shirt coming out for NWA in a few weeks with me and May on it, so stay on the lookout for that.
Nice.
And, hey, if you watched this and you enjoyed it, appreciate you, buddy.
Royce, it was a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time out of your Monday night to join us. We hope to talk to you again soon when we get back to seeing you in the wrestling ring, sir.
Awesome. Hell yeah. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Royce Isaacs, everybody. Great guest tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. He mentioned it again, at Royce Isaac on the Twitter machine, and his murder podcast at Anomaly Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You're both looking at me very strangely.
Who, me?
Who, you?
I'm trying to take his picture off so this way people don't think that he's just like creepily just there.
Yeah, he couldn't hit that button fast enough.
You think so?
Nah.
You see how he
You want them to hang around and listen to our banter? Come on, man. He's got shit to do. He's a busy guy.
Oh, that was awesome.
He was fun. He was fun. I'd say top five guest. What would you say?
Fucking gimmick stealer, man.
Come on. He steals all of them.
Oh, fuck you, Zol. You all don't steal my gimmicks. I hear that shit you try to pass off as a podcast on Wednesday night. Don't you think I know
don't
about
steal. What gimmicks of yours do I steal?
You shit on me and Kevin to your boy. And you're like, oh, I'm going to hear shit that I shit on them. Oh,
You gave Kate corporate Kate when it was clearly corporate Kevin.
Yeah.
You quit the fucking corporation.
No, but you gave that before I was still. You gave that to her
Kevin's
while I was still.
Body wasn't even cold, you fucking killer.
The WWE's a big corporation. There's more than one of you shills running around out there. No.
Kevin was corporate Kevin. That was his shtick.
And no one steals your shitty gimmicks, Tony, because they're shitty.
Really?
I mean, I can't do an overweight Larry. Hey, everybody, I'm terrible at impersonations too. So.
Oh no, Tony's got some good stuff. He's got fake news, Tony.
Yeah, oh, we haven't done that in a while.
No, because every time you try and do it, you get called out on it.
He's got, because you're a loser.
Yeah, you fucking loser. You fucking loser.
He's got MLW.
Oh, dude, I had TNA for a long time. Come on, bro. I'm all gimmicked up. I'm gimmickfied over here.
Yeah, but to be fair, he's not giving that to anybody else.
No, and then you guys steal my fucking Vince McMahon gimmick? No, this is a gimmick. We need gimmick infringement court right now. Get a fucking judge on the line.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I was the first person to do the Vince, and then you ran with it. I'm not saying you stole it. I'm saying you made it better and ran with it.
Look, don't be mad at me because you didn't. Your fucking the ghost of Macho Man didn't have legs.
Yeah, you didn't fucking do the Ghost of Macho Man that long, Kev, either.
No, listen,
he's got a point there. That was
it was terrible. I'm not claiming Ghost of Macho Man was great.
You should have. It was awesome. I love the Ghost of Macho Man. It always morphed into Paul Bearer, though, which was fucking hysterical in itself.
Well, I am in a basement right now, so I definitely could bring it back.
I got points. I got points for people listening on Hot Mic. Kratzo comes in with Matt calling us both assholes on last week's AEW Dynamite recap, which was the thing I forgot. And Kate the Great saying, oh, what wrestling podcast doesn't have a Vince impression? You fucking unoriginal hack. So that's corporate Kate throwing you under the bus, sir.
Look.
Not us. Your partners on AEW pre-show, whatever you
First of all, Kate is not my partner. She's an associate. She does other podcasts because she does not have any loyalty towards the Shining Wizards.
That's
so,
a good point.
Didn't you
That's
do
a very good point.
Like 2 weeks ago? Weren't you on something?
I was interviewed for the Discus Lariat.
Oh, when did you tell us? Fucking Matt's big timing us now, too.
No That's one's big timing anyone.
Here you go. Look at that.
We got to find out about it in a link?
Yeah. Hey, I did this.
What link? There's no link. It's not even out yet.
Where is it?
I saw something. Or maybe you mentioned it. No, you mentioned it on the AEW show. On our show.
Exactly. Dropping heat on the fucking Wednesday the B show over here. And by the way, how about, were you drunk like your appearance on Pop Cultivation? Do you remember that debacle?
I do remember that. No, I wasn't drunk, you fucking dickhead.
Hey, how did you get 5,000 followers? No, that's only 500. Oh. Hey,
that's why I'm not allowed to do back-to-back podcasts anymore.
Don't you laugh either, because you're the one that threw fucking Giancarlo under the bus just trying to get themselves over that
all right.
That video getting super kicked.
Guilty. But I was so... Listen, this is why I hate looking back at myself from 6 years ago, 5 years ago. Absolutely hate it. I hate the person I was then. I'm starting to hate myself again.
Yeah, how are you any different than you were 5 years ago?
And I hate myself for it. Ugh.
And you over there with your fucking Nosferatu haircut. You act like Kevin never did another podcast.
Wait, what happened? Did we lose Matt's
voice? No, I'm right here.
Oh, Jesus. I thought you swallowed your fucking throat over there. What the hell
happened? Kevin did fucking KP. Did you do KP Burke's podcast?
Wait, which... What? You're talking about that fucking debacle with fucking Natty Bumper Car?
No, not the fucking dumb fellas, you dickhead. I know he did a a show with KP Burke. I know history of the world or whatever. Oh,
that's
fucking
right.
I plugged it.
Yeah. No, Kevin's right. He fucking plugged the shit out of it.
We taped that. We taped that like 6 weeks before it was even dropped.
Yeah.
Why am I going to plug something that people can't listen to?
Bukkake on you.
The episode's
Wait, is it not out yet?
No.
When is it dropping?
I don't know. Well, I'll find out when he fucking drops it.
Dude, I can't.
All right, then that's fair.
You motherfuckers. You gimmick stealing cock eaters.
No, listen, we're not mad about you doing it. We're not mad about you even not plugging it. But you did plug it on the AEW post-game show, not this show.
That's right, because I did it that day before the AEW post-show.
Well.
And you, you're fucking about. Mr. Turnbuckle Throwbacks over there, Tony, you fucking shit-eating motherfucker.
When was the last time I was on Turnbuckle Throwbacks? When we did the Christmas episode.
The better question is, when was the last time you were on Phil's dick, you fucking hump?
Tony, post something else
about expecting an argument. When you make a Facebook status, and then Phil chimes in, I'm just here to, it's a coping mechanism, and you're just like, oh, I'm always here for you if you need me.
I didn't say that. I said, if you need to fucking vent, call me. I'm like, oh, come on.
Maybe you two could go in the backyard and blow each other from 6 feet apart, you fucking losers.
Hey, only Phil and I would be able to pull that off, because we got some big peckas.
Yeah, that's what all you Bruno fans got, big peckas. You fucking loser.
Big, crazy Italian peckers.
Well, thanks to Royce Isaac for joining us tonight.
Fuck. Wow, Royce Isaacs was just on, wasn't he?
Thanks. He was.
I don't remember anything. Ooh. What happened? I blacked out.
You know what? I do like the scenery in the basement, Kev. Big step up from the porch, by the way.
I see. If I'm the serial killer. I did this like six times. Right? And then there's the poster that fell. There's a saw. It is a wrench. It's the best I could do.
Yeah, you won't be getting any interior decorating jobs anytime soon.
I had to relocate.
So I did a fucking show with Mega Powers on Friday, all right? Fucking shoot me. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. What's up with that? You don't tell anybody you're going to do a show with fucking Mega Powers. He's back from the dead. Did he bring his fucking body bag?
I said Mega Powers got a hold of an early script of No Holds Barred. Yeah, fuck your hand, you jerk off. And I said, I'm going to do a reading with him. Would you guys have sat there for 2.5 hours with him like I did? No. Nope.
What, and talked all over each other like we do on this every week? No.
Pretty much. That's all I got.
Struggle is real.
Of course it is.
You think he liked the background, Tony?
Of course he did. Did you see him when he fucking first logged on? When you were talking, he just like had a fucking grin on his face like, you motherfucker.
He had a good time, Tony. I'll give you his address. You can send him a shirt.
Of course. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully we have larges left.
I'd have to check.
All right.
Actually, you were supposed to take like the handful of 8th anniversary shirts, and they're still sitting here. I kind of forgot about that.
I haven't been to your fucking house in months, dicko.
I know. It's been a while.
All right, let's do a contactless drop-off. I'll pick them up.
I'll drop this off on your chin.
Do you want to finish talking NWA?
Yeah, sure. What else was there to talk about that we didn't talk about? They actually had some good matches.
Yeah, the Rock and Roll Express beat Shooter Stevens in the question mark, and we saw a debut of Question Mark Jr., who may or may not have been one of the bouncers.
I'm surprised you didn't shit on him on Twitter for that. I know your love-hate relationship with the bouncers since they fucking turned on your boy Eddie Kingston.
They took that fucking Pope's dirty money. I don't know what to tell you.
And they fucking lost anyway, those dumb shits.
So now fucking Shooter Stevens is pairing himself up with Josephus and fucking one of the bouncers?
Oh, come on, dude. It's not Josephus. Go fuck yourself.
Have we ever seen Josephus?
Dude,
that's not the question. No.
Does Josephus have merchandise on NWA.com or whatever the website is? No. Yeah.
Yes, I bet you he does.
Does.
Josephus was on the NWA 70th anniversary show. I bet you he has merch, buddy.
Yeah, I forgot. I didn't like him on the 70th anniversary show. I don't like Josephus. I'm not a fan.
That's weird because you really like the question mark.
I love the question mark. He's not the same guy. Fucking get over it.
Are you sure? Jesus,
really? Am I sure? Yes, 100%.
Kevin, thoughts?
I actually have on good authority that the question mark is the ghost of Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
That I could see.
Coming from beyond the grave to relive his Who character.
Do we get a Jim Neidhart from the grave impression, Kevin?
Yeah, but all he says is, yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
I have to get rid of this picture of Royce and May from behind me. It's getting a little weird now.
No, I like it.
He's staring right at me.
He's like I'm blocking May out completely. It's like he's looking over my shoulder.
I got to screenshot this if I can.
Yeah, if you could block Royce and just let May look at us, we'd be okay.
I'm probably going to hang up. Yeah, why can't you flip that? All right, I'm going to try to screenshot this. That's probably going to hang up.
She looks good.
He had to move the laptop, so I'm not. How's that, better? Kind of?
Yeah, now he's like peekabooing over your hair.
How about that?
You're like a weatherman, Tony.
All right, so Melina cuts her promo. Melina looking good, by the way. I don't care what you say, Tony.
Eh, whatever.
She's, once again, here's my one complaint about the NWA. Is every time that these people decide that they're getting a title shot, the interviewer's response is, you didn't go through the office for that. And they're like, I call my shots.
No, in fairness, it was only Melina that does that, and she's done it twice. She did it for her match with Thunder Rosa the first time, and now she's doing it again the second time.
I thought the tag champs did that.
No, did they? Who? Wait.
The Drake and Storm.
Well, they're the champs. I mean, they have a little more control, but, you know, Melina's fucking... Who the fuck is Melina? Come on.
Who the fuck is Melina? She's Melina, bro.
Dude, you're going to compare Melina to the fucking world tag team champions? Let's be real.
Yes.
Now, Thunder Rosa came out and said, I want to fight Melina. That's a different story because she's a champ.
You don't think that's going to lead to a three-way dance with Allison Kay and Thunder Rosa?
I thought that's where they were going.
Oh, I thought you said it was just a one-on-one match before Royce called.
Maybe. I don't remember. I thought they were angling for a three-way. But didn't we get a three-way this week anyway with Ashley Vox and Tasha Steelz and...
Ashley Vox.
Marty Bell.
Marty Bell, yes. And Tasha Steelz won, and she took her win and fucking signed with Impact. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's a little weird, no?
Well, I mean, it isn't. It isn't. Impact is working right now. The NWA isn't working right now.
Yeah, but we don't know what Carney Land is.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. It's probably WPC sitting in his living room playing with his action figures, dressed up like the NWA characters, which would be kind of cool in itself. By the way, Retromania should be coming out next month, no? The NWA video game or the video game with the NWA talent? Yes?
Sure,
no?
I don't fucking know.
I hope so.
It's not just strictly NWA talent. It's got this. It's got Colt.
Yeah, but it's featuring, Colt was kind of with the NWA. John Morrison's in it, from what I remember.
So, you know, So the boys,
Cardona and Myers.
Where's the mute button?
Who, me?
No, it's Kevin.
You hit the mute button?
I was going to hit the mute button.
Oh.
Yeah, they're in the game. I wasn't going to go. Damn it.
The BWO's in the game too, Kev. All three original members.
That's right.
I'm
on 7-Eleven.
That's going to be the fuck. No, Thomas the Inchworm is not there. Oh, no, wait. 7-Eleven was Feinstein. Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did I know that?
Yes, we
Did
had this conversation that? Like 3 weeks ago.
We had this very same conversation where you were surprised and we were like, yep, it was him. And you were like, holy shit.
Tim Storm beat Jack Stain in a no DQ match. And if he won, he got 5 minutes with Danny Deals.
I get the feeling in that match they were a little afraid to go all out because there were a couple times it looked like they wanted to throw each other into the set, but they were afraid the entire set might fall over, so they didn't. But other than that, I enjoyed the shit out of it. And Danny Deals got his fucking ass kicked. He took the Perfect Storm twice. Fuck him. Dressing up like Mama Storm. How dare you, you piece of shit.
Tim Storm might be the most over babyface in wrestling.
Yeah. I would fucking make that argument, sure. Definitely up there. Definitely up there. And he's in his 50s too, man. He's not a young guy anymore. Not even close.
Yeah, that's surprising that he lasted as long as he has there. I thought he'd be an afterthought as soon as NWA came into this, but they're keeping him around and he's a I don't want to say sympathetic babyface, but he's a very like over but also you pull for him every single time, babyface.
Yeah, and I don't think they're over with him as far as the World's Championship as well. I think eventually they're going to figure out a way for him to get that shot at Aldis. Whether or not he wins, I'd like to see him win, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But
I can see him getting one more run, maybe.
But I do think that they're going to make it possible for him to get to that point. You know, they'll find a way for him to get a title match or, you know, like whatnot. How long it takes to get there, who knows at this point, but I definitely see that one more time in Tim Storm's future.
Well, who are they building towards? Because I did not watch Superpower, full disclosure.
Well, right.
Is there any advance? Who is there anyone that already has a title shot locked that they haven't been able to pull the trigger on because of the quarantine?
Yeah, well, he's supposed to face off against Marty Scurll. They had the whole thing with the
that's right,
putting up the $500,000, and then they were going to put up refunding everybody the money, and that's why we had Brody King and Marty take on actually Royce and Nick Aldis this past week in the main event.
How long ago was that taped?
Oh God, the cup was supposed to take place April 19th, and that was supposed to be the week before. So maybe, what's it been like? Oh, it's been over a month now, but that was probably taped back in Matt. When did they do those tapings? It was right after the last pay per view, wasn't it?
Yeah, they taped everything after Hard Times.
And when was Hard Times? Back in February?
I feel like Hard Times was in January now.
Maybe it
end
was
of January.
So yes, this has been in the can for 4 months. That you know that they finally released it this like last week. So yeah, it was all building up to Tim and not Tim Jesus, Nick Aldis and Marty Scurll. So once
this all, if we get past all this and we have crowds again, or we even have pro wrestling again, for these other companies other than WWE and AEW, will that Ring of Honor NWA relationship is probably going to still be pretty legit and solid?
I'd imagine so. I don't think there's been any talk that it wouldn't be. I mean, the companies are both in sort of the same situation now anyway. Ring of Honor is sort of suspended right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're, I mean, you know, you got everything that was going into it. You've mentioned that match being taped. You mentioned all the stuff with Ring of Honor at Free Enterprise. They were going to use them at Supercard of Honor. PCO and Nick Aldis were going to be involved with Marty and them. So there's a huge storyline there. Granted, it didn't get the play out on Ring of Honor TV, but, you know, I'm sure people still want to see this. You tell us wrestling's coming back in, let's just say, July, and they just start every week showing little, you know, these people are making these little vignette movies or videos or whatever. I mean, you can build it right back up there and people will be into it. You know, to change gears and talk MLW, they did their anthology show for La Parca, and then at the end of the episode they kind of did like a 2-minute video vignettes from Myron Reed, from the Dynasty, from Savio Vega, from Mance Warner, just kind of Myron Reed, so you kind of still know that there's these storylines, and I think that's kind of the direction that they're going to go going forward, at least MLW.
Matt, before we get to MLW, can I just double back for a second?
Yeah.
To guys, you mentioned PCO, and we even talked about Tim Storm and how this whole thing, this whole these guys aren't young guys, as Tony and I we alluded to before. This is valuable time. These are valuable matches that these guys aren't going to be able to get back as they get older. I mean, it's been talked about on sports radio with like pro athletes, and I wonder how guys like PCO, guys like Tim Storm, guys that are the Rock and Roll Express, who only have this finite amount of matches left, how this is going to affect them once this all comes back.
You would imagine with the time off that it gives them time to heal their bodies up. As long as they stay in shape, PCO always has a new tweet of him doing some crazy shit on Monday nights that he sends us that we share. So he's clearly doing something. I mean, these guys got to stay busy. You heard Royce say he's doing at-home workouts and whatnot.
But like you said, like, when these guys have like their contract is for 2 years, say you lose a year of it not performing, that's gotta be ridiculous for them.
Sure, but I mean, it's just the times, it's the situation, yeah. You know, it's not like anything we've ever seen before. So who knows? You know, even if a contract is valid, you know, if you miss 8 months of your contract, is that, and it wasn't because you weren't hurt, and it wasn't because of something the company did, if it's just like a pandemic, does that affect your status. Are these people going to get an extra 8 months tacked on to their contract when things resume? Who knows?
Yeah. The term, the cliche, uncharted territory is uncharted waters, unprecedented territory, the new normal.
Fuck you, Kevin.
We've never seen anything like it. So once these contracts or whatever happens do come up, well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens and how they're negotiated and worked out. MLW.
Well, before we get into MLW, let's stick with something that's normal. It's our friends over at Patreon. If you want to support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, head over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We know times are tough. We know that the money's not coming in like it used to. But if you can afford it, we would appreciate you going over to our Patreon and donating a dollar, pledging a dollar. And that helps us do this on a weekly basis, especially now that we have to use Skype and we have to update our technology. So every dollar counts. And for every dollar you donate, that's it, $1. You will get mentioned every week as a Patreon producer. If you donate $3 a month, you get the Patreon producer. You get a code to Pro Wrestling Tees and save 10% on Shining Wizards merch. And you get our watch-along. Tony did a watch-along for Money in the Bank this week, and it is amazing. The audio is great, and the video is fantastic. So if you're interested in seeing that, check that out. I've done watch-alongs. Kevin has done watch-alongs. They're very entertaining. So head over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast to pledge a dollar, $2, whatever you can afford. With that being said, we want to thank those that support us. Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. Manny Crazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. My brethren over at D-Generation Y, Danny Rusinello. Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com, a local brewery here in New Jersey. Anthony Rusinello. Kate Hensler, ondeckic.com. Happy belated birthday to Kate and Ryan. They both celebrated birthdays last week. Sean Toe.
Birthday and Kathy Hummer, too.
I guess so. Sean Toe. Sean Calejo. Brett Simonello.
What do you say?
Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Mr. Matt Mellinger. Christine Friesendorf. Mark Parloni, who also celebrated a birthday.
Birthday 5 weeks ago. Happy birthday, Mark.
Yes. Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinksmore on the Twitter machine. Jay Kopp, Big Kopp Pump from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thomas Kopps, the Moot Spock.
Fucking dick.
Michael Hammond. Mr. David Henry Bauer III, whose buddy, Antonio Hauserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Tony checked it out last week, and he really enjoyed it, so we highly recommend you should as well. And now that I have the website in front of me, I'm definitely going to make it a point to check it out, because I like weird music, even the shitty stuff that Kate recommended to me. And then last, but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.,
lives are going to be in William Mercier's hand. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean, buddy. I know what you mean. So you want to go MLW first? We want to talk AEW? You want to talk WWE? Where do you guys want to go here?
Well, there's not a ton of stuff to talk with MLW. It was an anthology show. They highlighted LA Park. They went way back into the archive, 2002 MLW. One of the matches that they showed was at the Hammerstein Ballroom, I believe. It was his match against Shocker.
Yes.
Very good stuff. You get to see, first of all, L.A. Park is probably about 400 pounds lighter. It's really strange seeing him. And he actually looks smaller than he did in WCW, which was just like 2 years prior to this. So like, and Joey Styles even mentions it. Like, he got himself in really killer shape. He looked good. I enjoyed the match with Shocker. A lot of cool shit, but like they didn't overdo it. They had like, you know, it seemed like MLW was trying to be ECW at this point, minus the hardcore stuff, at least for this match anyway. And even Jim Molyneux was the referee, if I remember correctly.
You're correct.
So it had a very ECW vibe to it. And I think even in the second match, which was against Sabu, you know, that came out with all the ECW chants and whatnot. But the first match was really good. Second match. Holy Christ, Sabu looked like he was going to the gym five times a day. Motherfucker was tan, ripped, chiseled, and jacked. Sorry, I had to do that for Devon, who's retiring, by the way. I don't know if we mentioned that yet. But anyway, yeah, so then they showed this longer match. I believe it was from Florida, same year, Bill Alfonso in the corner of Sabu. You know, fucking L.A. Park or La Parka had his mask ripped off. He was fucking bleeding like a stuck pig. Sabu was jabbing him in the face with the fucking spike. They were hitting each other with chairs and shit. It started out slow, but it got really violent. It was really fucking good. Home run episode chronicling the very early days of La Parka in MLW. And at the end, he beat the shit out of Fonzie after the match, which was fucking awesome. So big thumbs up. And like Matt mentioned, they had a little little quarantine nonsense going on. Like Tom Lawler was working out in his garage talking about how he wanted to fucking kill the Von Erichs or some shit. We got the Von Erichs chopping down bamboo in their yard out in fucking Hawaii. We got Myron Reed in front of like some barbed wire at some train station talking about, I think he was calling out fucking Contra, wasn't he?
He was
a lot of the guys were calling out Contra.
He was telling Contra that they can't take what is theirs. And I think Contra attacked Codo Brazil too, so.
Yeah.
That was what he kept referencing.
We heard from Mansur going to the pay window, talking about his triple tower of terror again. Fucking Richard Holiday growing the fucking Joey Ryan mustache and Hammerstone fucking laughing at him and then telling him it was dynastic. Dude, it was fucking hysterical. I think they were supposed to be debuting just that segment alone tonight on MLW's YouTube page.
Oh, yeah. That's what's it called? Fuck.
I know. I can't remember it either. But
it was on YouTube this afternoon, and I was like, oh, shit, can I watch this? And I think it debuts tonight at 11.
Yeah.
Call
the curtain?
I don't
the
know.
The roll call. That was it.
Roll call. There we go. I had call yeah, there.
I mean, it's long, and fucking Filthy Tom's on here as well. But, yeah, definitely the anthology is fucking fantastic. This weekend, they're gonna be doing their anthology on Mance Warner, and Mance is a fucking favorite of mine, so definitely I'm going to check that out. You guys should check it out, too. You know, it sucks that they're under quarantine. We're all under quarantine. However, we got some good shit. Oh, there was another video posted up. Contra Unit seizes MLW. I would imagine it's the same video that they aired in the most recent episode last week with Joseph Samael talking about the end game and how they were taking over everything. But, you know, it's cool that they do have a lot of shit that they can do, even though, you know, everything is on lockdown. So fucking big props to MLW for all the stuff that they've been putting out.
Do you think it's, I mean, I can't speak for you guys, but I only started watching MLW about a year ago. You think it's a little soon to run an anthology on Mance?
Yes and no. I mean, Mance is probably, do I want to say he may be the big baby face of the company?
Yeah, but what are you going to see? The shit he did with Jimmy Havoc that we all watched 6 months ago?
I don't know. Has he been around longer than that? I mean, he also just retired MJF, but we just saw that a couple weeks ago as well. So
yeah,
I don't know, man.
You look at the history of MLW and the Steve Carinos and the CM Punks and the Extreme Horsemen and the Low Keys and all these other guys that they've had. Is it just easier to just put out an anthology of Mance because that footage is readily available and it gives them more time to put together something else for somebody who's hasn't been there in a while?
I'm sure that has something to do with it. And I guess why not, if he's one of the most over guys you have, why not try to capitalize on people that may have not seen his stuff from earlier in the year and just throw that out there? I mean, it doesn't hurt. And maybe they've already done some of it. I have no idea whether they have or not. Maybe they've already done some, you know, DVDs or stuff like that on Punk or Loki or something like that.
Mance Warner has been signed with Major League Wrestling since 2019. His debut match was against Jimmy Uta. It doesn't have a date for that here. However, on March 2nd, 2019, at Intimidation Games, he wrestled L.A. Park. So, I mean, I don't, like you said, it hasn't really been all that long, but maybe they got some shit that they can use. I don't know. Dude, fucking Mance Warner's a character, though, you know? And if they want to keep it right now where they're featuring their more recent guys, I don't know. I really don't have a problem with it, but we'll see how it goes.
And he's got that character that kind of just draws people in. So if it could help get people to watch Fusion regularly by putting Mance Warner out there, I say go for it.
And even if they do like 10 minutes of his best interviews, like in the back with Alicia or cutting shit himself, like in front of the pay window and all that, he's fucking hilarious, dude. He's hilarious. Good shit from old Mansur.
And good shit from MLW as they re-signed Richard Holiday too, which is huge.
That's dynastic.
He's got to get rid of the mustache, dude.
Come on. That's fucking awesome, that mustache.
From a marketable standpoint, what the fuck? I'm having a stroke. Mustaches, they scare women and children, just so you know.
All right, let me ask you this. Is David Starr scaring women and children with his mustache?
David Starr scaring everybody who wants to talk to him. So
that was a bad example. I'm sorry. I'll take that back. Richard Holiday, shave it, buddy.
It's not marketable. I get it. You're inside, but come on.
Fucking
man.
Hammerstone laughing at him, though, was the funniest shit. He's like, come on,
bro. He had to cover up really fast because he started laughing, too, Holiday.
Corpse and send it for the man.
Where do you guys want to go from here? I got WWE notes. I got AEW notes. I got Impact notes. I got New Japan notes.
Do you want to hit on the sad stuff before, so we don't have to close with it, or do you want to close with it?
No, right. Kevin. Exactly.
Good call, Kevin.
That's exactly where I was going.
Go down. We're gonna bring it back up.
Could we talk about Shad from Primetime?
We can. It's tough news today. Okay.
So what exactly is the story? Break it down for us.
So TMZ is reporting that yesterday in Venice Beach, California, Shad and his family were at the beach and a group of people were in the water swimming and they got caught in a riptide. And the lifeguards ran out there and got to them. But Shad told them to take his 10-year-old son first. And I guess in the process of them rescuing his son, he was hit with a wave, and that was the last he was seen. And that's all. I made these notes this morning, so that's the last that I've heard about it. I saw before we started that apparently the Coast Guard has called off the searches. So it seems like a very unfortunate situation, unless some kind of last minute miracle happens. It looks like we may have lost Shad yesterday.
That's fucking, that's really depressing, dude. That's such a fucking tragedy.
It really is. It's weird, like when certain stories, like get, like when you hear them and they just hit you like a punch in the gut. Like, this was one of those. Like, when I actually saw your text after I went on Facebook and saw the headline, I was like, no. And then we got the text from you guys. I got the text from you guys. And it's just like, that's one. Like, we didn't really know. We never had Shad on, right?
No.
No, I mean, JTG is a friend. And Shad is very good at interacting via social media.
JTG had no problem talking shit about Shad every chance he got, though, especially in his two books.
but you know that bond was definitely like legit real.
Oh yeah, of course, of course.
And so it's just, but like everyone else universally loved him, and it just like for some reason this one just like for no other reason. I don't think I ever met him, but just you know social media, it just punches you right in the gut. And the fact that that he said to go get my kid first is just it's just the worst. It's absolutely the worst story. And I think I'm not shocked that they called off the searches already, at least for today. It's bad.
It's a real fucking bummer. I mean, and this is the guy a couple of years ago put his life on the line to stop an armed robbery, you know?
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yep. Hell of a guy. Terribly missed. Fucking such a shame.
Just goes to that point, you know, just be glad for what you have and who you're with and the time you're spending with them. Yes, quarantine is really getting people down and nobody wants to be locked in their house, but you're with your loved ones and cherish every moment of that, because I'm sure these guys were in quarantine. They lifted the ban on beaches and they just were going out to have a day at the beach.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's like the biggest like kick in the balls for this, is that through all this stuff and all the people that we're losing daily from this virus, to have a guy or anyone, but a guy so universally loved like Shad Gaspard to go in this way is just like, it's like an extra punch from something that you're already getting every day from the news and every day from social media and Facebook, and everyone's losing somebody from this virus. But then this happening is just like that extra, like, come on, man. Like, this is going to sound cliche, and I'm not trying to be funny, but 2020, come on, man. Like, really? Like, Shad? I don't know.
Well, and unfortunately, with Shad, we also lost Larry Zonka, writer for 411 Mania.
Yeah, 411 Mania Wrestling. I've been reading this guy forever. This one came as a big surprise. I know that he'd been going through some health issues lately. If I remember, I want to say it was late last year, early this year, he actually had one of his legs amputated. So he was sort of in bad shape, but getting better. But yeah, this one just kind of came out of nowhere. And there was no word around it as to his condition. So I can only imagine that, this was just a complete shock. And, like we said, like Shad was well known, and, there's been an outpouring of support for him, but I'm taking a look at 411 Mania right now. It's a who's who of people that just grew up or spent time around him, as a journalist. I mean, we've got condolences from Kevin Owens, Court Bauer, Austin Aries, Chris Jericho, Impact and Evolve, Fight TV, like Joey Janela, Dave Meltzer, and Brian Alvarez actually did a write-up on him. Like, just like all these people coming out and showing support for him. The guy leaves behind like a little girl and a wife. It's fucking just terrible, man. Like we said with Shad, it just fucking completely unexpected and out of nowhere. And like I said, I've been reading Larry Zonka's stuff for a very long time. As a matter of fact, one of the things I wanted to talk with Matt about tonight, probably if I know correctly, his last article where he compares Chris Jericho and his position right now in wrestling to that of Terry Funk from, 25, 30 years ago. So always a great writer, always enjoyed his stuff, may not have always agreed with him, but it's a big loss for the internet wrestling community, on that level.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a huge outpouring on Twitter today when that news broke. And even in our Discord chat, Mr. Kratzo sent us the last tweet that Larry Zonka made, where he said he was tired and wasn't feeling good and he was going to go lay down. And that was really it. So, rough one today in the world of pro wrestling. But yeah, I mean, it sucks. But we gotta forge ahead, I guess, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the news in the next couple of days with Shad. But we'll move on. We'll talk some wrestling like we always do.
It's funny that Royce brought up Caleb Konley because he was also in the news over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Matt Riley, better known as Zane Riley, sent a cease and desist letter to The Revolt, the now Dave Hardwood and Daniel Wheeler, formerly The Revival. It states that Caleb and Riley have used the name in the Carolina Independence, and that Hardwood and Wheeler attempted to trademark the name since the WWE owns The Revival. So it appears that Hardwood and Wheeler want to go by the name FTR. So who knows if they'll be using The Revolt, but a cease and desist was sent on behalf of Caleb and Zane Riley. So that's interesting. I didn't see that coming.
It's also strange, too, because the story goes that they had allegedly tried to reach out to, I guess, The Revival, the FTR, whatever they're calling themselves now. And they didn't get any response, so they did this to protect themselves. I mean, I don't know. And then the argument is like, well, we weren't going to really use The Revolt. It was just kind of like a thing that happened, but we're not using that. So who the fuck knows? It's wrestling. And you know what, though? I can't blame them because you got to be protective of your intellectual property. You just have to.
Yeah, but did they actually have a trademark on it?
A trademark helps, but a trademark doesn't necessarily mean
that the other people. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it all comes down to like right of first usage. Now, if had they not established that they've been using this name for 5 years, well, then there's an argument could be made that, hey, nobody was using this name. Nobody put this out there. Unfortunately, once it's being used, once it's put out there, and especially because it's in the same line of business. Like, if they could open up, like, you know, a Revival Chicken Shack or some shit like that, well, then, you know, you guys aren't going to have a leg to stand on. But because it's involved in the business of pro wrestling, that's, you know, that's not apples and oranges anymore. That's apples and apples. And you do it.
Yeah, and I can't see the revolt. I can't see them going any further because they seem like guys that want to do what's best for everyone else. I think they'll drop the revolt and figure something else out if they haven't already.
Yeah, it's business. It is what it is.
It is what it is. The big takeaway from Monday Night Raw last week, we were on the air when it happened. Becky is pregnant. She forfeited her title to Asuka. Nothing really else of note, I thought, came from Monday Night Raw.
You didn't like Asuka's celebration?
Look, I thought the moment...
I'm the champion!
I liked it better when Becky told her she was going to be a mother, because I feel like that was... like, Asuka's reaction was genuine.
Oh, yeah, she didn't know.
I shed a tear. I thought it was beautifully done. It was a great moment.
And it sucks that it was done in a fucking cold studio in front of Maggle and fucking what's his nuts.
Yeah, but that's nobody can do anything about that.
One thing I saw in Botchamania, when was the last time New Day wrestled? Did they wrestle on Friday SmackDown?
Friday, no.
Okay. Whatever their last SmackDown appearance was, Big E takes off his coat and he fucking hauls off.
Oh, yeah.
And he almost fucking knocks your favorite commentator over there, fucking tattoo neck.
I thought he did that at the Money in the Bank.
Pay-per-view.
Oh, was it at the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
See, I didn't watch the pay-per-view. I only watched the main event of the pay-per-view, the actual men's and women's Money in the Bank, which if you're a Patreon subscriber, you can get to see that and get it in video format as well. So you don't even have to queue up your WWE machine. You just got to click a button and bickety-bam, it's all yours.
Did you watch with Royce Isaacs?
I'll watch a fucking pay-per-view match with him. I'll be down. I'll watch any fucking match he wants with me. I don't care.
Still staring right at me. It's freaking me out.
Oh, over my shoulder?
Yeah, he's like literally.
If I knew how to
dead into my eyes still.
Hang up on you guys, I would do it. I would totally do it.
So what else happened in Raw? Rey Mysterio survived getting thrown off a building, but then he got an eye injury, so we have that going on. Seth Rollins didn't wet his hair, so he looked like a fucking caveman. I'm sure you've seen that meme going around. I watched the Shayna Baszler Natty match because I was trying to get in that Discord. And I don't really watch the WWE product all that much, but what is Nat? Is she? She might face heel turn more than the Big Show.
Well,
because she called like Shayna Baszler a bitch at the beginning of the match. Like,
does that every match?
And she threw a fucking tantrum after she lost. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
That's Natty's gimmick. She's been doing that for a while now. She's a fucking pain in the ass, dude. I don't know.
I felt like the Randy Orton Edge thing really did not work out well.
So we're not
hate it.
His current run.
What was her quote? The greatest wrestling match of all time.
Wait. For what?
Was it Charlie Caruso? Who was in the ring with him?
You're asking me. I didn't watch it.
Kevin, are you completely punched out of WWE now? Am I the only one watching the WWE?
Sucker!
Oh boy, how the fucking.
No, I mean, I'll watch tonight. Once you get done here, it's not Kayla Braxton. She's not still there, is she?
I don't know, maybe someone was in the ring with Randy Orton and Edge, and Randy Orton said that he got the Edge got the better of him at WrestleMania, but that Randy Orton knows and Edge knows that he's a better wrestler than him, so he challenged him to a straight wrestling match at Backlash, and Edge didn't respond, and then Charlie Caruso or Caleb or whatever broad was in the ring was like, this could be the greatest wrestling match ever, and I almost threw my laptop across my living room because that's the most absurd fucking statement I've ever heard made.
I don't know.
Really, Kevin?
I mean, no, in real life, yes. In terms of hype, in terms of like two like the biggest stars that WWE seen in the last like 15 to 20 years, it could produce. Ugh. I mean, if Edge really has what he has in him, and if they don't go complete schmosh fest again, I could see it being built that way. Will it deliver? Probably not. But I have no problem with it being built that way.
What if they split them up and then they put them with the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders and they could play dodgeball together? Because that's a fucking thing, apparently. That's what we're doing with. They played basketball last week. They're doing axe throwing tonight. I mean, are you who the fuck is the WWE catering to, honestly?
Well, hasn't axe throwing, like before, like the quarantine, wasn't axe throwing like the big? I saw so many videos on social media of people going to places throwing axes at like walls and stuff.
Yes.
People do enjoy that, right?
That's a thing. This is a wrestling program where their feuds are supposed to be settled in the ring.
It's a sports entertainment program. It's where fucking feuds can be settled on roofs, in boneyards, in Firefly funhouses.
I'd give you all three of those. This, whatever they're doing, this storyline, instead of putting them in matches where they're fucking, the Street Profits destroy them in basketball, and then the Viking Raiders are like, we can ball, yo. Like, are you fucking, and then the terrible cutaway shots of Hansen hitting fucking three-pointers? The fuck out of here. Who are you fucking catering to? What is this nonsense?
Not us.
Clearly.
WWE. Horrible.
Fucking horrible. Hot shit. SmackDown.
I don't understand the appeal of fucking throwing hatchets either. I never fucking understood it. You can't drink. They don't serve food. You're literally just going to a barn and fucking throwing axes at someone. Oh, you want to talk about a serial killer? Why don't you fucking go to one of those places out by you? You could be the fucking hatchet man.
I hear you can drink at the one in Fairfield. It's a
BYOB. Yeah, you can drink at those.
Oh, that's a fucking great idea. Alcohol and hatchets. Woohoo! Remember this guy? Smash! 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 You don't remember that?
Tony, people used to play lawn darts at barbecues.
But that's a barbecue. That's not a fucking like a place that you go to that has to be insured and owned by
lawn darts was the most deadly game ever.
Yeah, but that's under your own supervision. This is somebody saying, come to our facility where we'll give you blades and you can throw them at the fucking wall and chop each other's fingers off and all this other nonsense.
You don't think they sign a waiver before they do any of this?
You really think all those waivers are fucking ironclad, dude? You really think you go to Sky Zone, you sign that fucking waiver. You think that's going to protect you if you fucking land on your head?
Wants to go jump on a trampoline and do nothing? And there's no food and there's no drinks there and you just jump on a trampoline.
No, there's food at a trampoline place. There's food.
You're such fucking curmudgeon.
By that logic, what's stopping somebody from like drinking a fifth of Jack and going to the range and then just popping off on everybody there?
There's not, but you would figure that if somebody's coming in and they're fucking three sheets to the wind, they would say, "Not, we're not letting you in here. Sorry, buddy."
Just saying.
A couple other notes from Monday Night Raw.
Still.
Bobby Lashley beat Humberto Carrillo.
Who gives a fuck? Another one of these fucking Zelina Vega guys, really? Here comes Bobby Lashley. He's going to kick my ass.
Your fucking favorite tag team came back on Raw.
Who?
The Chicks. The Iconics. And they beat your other favorite tag team in a non-title match, because why not have another non-title match? What?
Nikki and Alexa?
Yes, of course, Nikki and Alexa.
Oh, fuck.
Ricochet, Cedric Alexander, and R-Truth beat MVP, Shane Thorne, and Brandon Vink.
Pew, 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 pew.
What this is?
I did not watch that.
Pew, pew, pew.
They took the title off of Sami Zayn because he is not defending his title.
Fuck him.
And we had a WWE Intercontinental Tournament that started Friday night on SmackDown. It was an 8-man single elimination tournament. Your participants, Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak, Jeff Hardy and Sheamus, Elias, Baron Corbin, and AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh. Cute.
You saw two first-round matches on SmackDown with Elias stealing a win from King Corbin.
Nice.
And Drew Gulak lost to Daniel Bryan in an excellent, excellent match.
News of the week, they did not re-sign him.
No, you are misinformed.
What?
His contract expired there was a little haggling over money, and they decided, he decided that he was not going to re-sign with the WWE.
Well, no. Words that kind of still be negotiating.
Drew Gulak asked for more money. WWE said they weren't giving out raises at this time, and they let him go.
You can't let somebody go if they don't re-sign their contract.
I understand that, but they wanted more money. Yeah. They wouldn't give it to him, so they said, go walk, is basically what I meant by let him go. They didn't fire him. Or
they didn't sign a new contract. That's bottom line. But that doesn't mean he's still, you know, not going to sign with them. Apparently, he's got Barry Bloom representing him, who's represented a myriad of fucking top-name wrestlers over the years. So if it's going to get done, he'll be the guy to get it done for him. And you don't bring in somebody like Barry Bloom unless you're serious about re-signing. That doesn't mean he's not going to work completely. But
or serious about getting an offer somewhere else.
Well, there you go. Maybe he had an offer from somewhere else, and he's trying to leverage it.
Let me ask you guys this.
Yes.
They did the old briefcase teaser on SmackDown with Otis, where he teamed with Braun Strowman, and then they beat The Miz and John Morrison, and then Mandy Rose kind of was distracting Braun to the point where Otis almost cashed in. Are we really buying this Otis thing?
Was it silly? Like, did it come off stupid?
Everything with Otis comes off stupid because he's stupid.
Yo, the way he fucking won Money in the Bank was just absolutely fucking dumb. Fucking, trust me, join the Patreon for the entire coverage, my coverage of that match. But goddamn, dude, has anybody ever dropped a fucking briefcase in the 45-year history of Money in the Bank? No! AJ had it in his fucking hands and he just fucking does one of these? Come on, really? 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 And why did Asuka kick Baron Corbin in the head to fucking knock him off the ladder? Really?
If you had watched Money in the Bank last week, you would have been part of that conversation.
I was part of that conversation with myself. These are the things I was pondering while I was watching it.
Ponder this. I also apparently brought back the brand extension last week. What did I bring back?
You fucking big mouth prick. It's all your fault.
The cross brand invitation, whatever it's called.
Yes. Yeah. The Michael Cole, he explained the rules. The brand to brand invitation is a process by which four times a year a superstar from Raw and a superstar from SmackDown will be allowed to travel to the other brand. So there's that. You have that to. That's it. There's a duck on the screen.
Every year they finagle it and just put different words to like explain it.
Well, King
confused.
King Corbin's going after Drew McIntyre.
No, King Corbin's getting attacked by Elias. They're fucking pushing him off.
No, Elias has moved ahead in the IC title gimmick.
Fuck Elias too. Fucking dummy with a guitar. What are you, fucking Jeff Jarrett? Put some fucking tights on, stupid.
What was it called? What was it called last year or the year before they redid it again? It was called the
To swaparoo.
The three
wild cards?
The wild card rule, right? Yeah, the wild card rule.
Yeah.
Every year they just find a different way to word it.
Well, if you remember correctly, when Vince McMahon tried to announce it, he couldn't fucking get the words out either.
I do remember that.
He was like, three from SmackDown and four from Raw and four from Raw and five from SmackDown and some shit.
That's actually the best that's the best 70-year-old promo Vince McMahon impression.
Oh, my impression of Vince is good?
I thought it was pretty good because that's how he sounds like. That sounds like old 70-year-old cut a promo Vince. Not like stereotype everyone does it Vince. How he sounds in the ring.
You know, Paul, I love you. I love you like a son. Even though you're a dumb fucking meathead. But I love you. And I love your cross-eyed friend. We're going to do some coke later, Sean. All right, guys. Shut it down. Kill the lights. Time to go home.
Fucking gimmick infringement motherfucker.
Yeah, but that's like real life, Vince. That's how he sounds.
Who can't do this? Ha-ha!
I don't know why you didn't do it then 7 years before I started fucking doing it. Get off my shit, bro. Keep making weird fucking Fandango Unchained bullshit or whatever goofy fucking super racist fucking things you were making, Tony. You fucking dickhead. Guess what? Fuck you. Sting's not under contract, so fucking put that in your fucking brain and think about that.
Oh, great. I hope he signs with Impact again.
So do I. I'd rather see him there than anywhere else.
He's going to take the belt off of Tessa when she comes back.
Do you want to get it? You want to get into that, Tony?
What? What's wrong with that?
Well, you want to get into the who's moving a forward in the number one contenders championship bracket tournament?
Wait, there's a tournament?
Even I know that.
I didn't know that.
I talked about it last week.
I don't remember.
That's probably why I know that.
And you got mad and you're like, why are they fucking putting Sami Callihan and Michael Elgin in the first round match?
That's why I forgot about it. Because they fucking...
And then I think we went into a conversation about Undertaker and Mabel.
That was 2 weeks ago. All right, well, Tony.
Sami Callihan lose?
No, that match is tomorrow night.
Oh, fuck me running.
Hernandez, he beat Madman Fulton.
Wait, he beat Michael Bolton?
No, he beat...
TPS Michael Bolton or Time, Love, and Tenderness Michael Bolton?
Time, Love, and Tenderness Michael Bolton.
I'm loving tenderness.
Hernandez beat Madman Fulton.
This is the tale of Tony Montana.
No, he was Captain Jack Sparrow. Oh, but I get it. He did the whole thing. That's right.
And Trey Miguel beat Rohit Raju.
Wait, what happened to Uno and Dos Miguel?
Unbelievable. And then you wonder why I say things like, oh, I do a podcast with two assholes. Ken Shamrock is...
That does justify it, actually.
Ken Shamrock's out of the tournament. And Ace Austin...
Oh, who fucking who?
And Ace Austin is taking his place.
Wait, why is Ken Shamrock out of the tournament? Because he's COVIDed it up?
No, he's not COVIDed it up. He got attacked by Michael Elgin.
Oh, big shit. Hey, how old is Ken Shamrock? How old is he? Seriously.
Who's Kevin Shamrock?
Kevin Shamrock. Ken's brother. Frank, he had two brothers, Frank and Kevin.
Ayo.
How old is Ken Shamrock? Holy shit. I typed in Ken, and the first thing that came up was Ken Shamrock Intercontinental. Who was doing research for that tournament? Holy fuck. Dude, he's 56. He's 56. Tim Storm is 53. I think those two should have a match because that would be a fucking banger and a half.
You had to do research on Ken Shamrock's Intercontinental. Ooh. That's like a 2 second research project.
No, it was when we were doing the seating that certain people thought that we fucking did a shit piss poor job on. They could go fuck.
Spiteful Tony, get it.
Oh, fuck.
Your girl Kylie Rae was on Impact.
Miley Kylie, she's the best.
She beat Tasha Steelz.
Of course she did, because Tasha Steelz is garbage.
Really?
No, I'm just saying, because Kylie's the best.
Kimberly beat Havoc.
Oh, she fucking hit her with the knuckle duster, right?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. Knock that big bitch down. Havoc's a big bitch, man. And you know what? She's tough. She ain't like fucking Nia. She ain't like Tamina. She ain't like Nyla. She's a big fucking tough bitch. And she,
nobody's like Nia, because Nia's not like most girls.
None of them are, dude. I think they're all dudes. Just saying.
And Moose beat Suicide to retain his title.
Moose is in the number one contenders tournament?
No, Moose has the old TNA championship.
I thought you were still talking about the tournament for a second. I'm sorry. Jesus.
Why would there be women?
Why is Moose in another tournament? Who gives a shit? He's a champion.
Why would there be women in the tournament?
Because you got a women champion, you fucking dick knob. Fucking idiot.
Moose.
Along with Tasha Steelz, Crazy Steve is also signed to an Impact contract.
Oh, is he getting a women's title match too?
How long until that tag team is formed? Then it's Crazy Steelz.
Crazy? Jesus.
Crazy Steelz and Nash? Kevin Nash comes back. And it's Crazy Steelz and Nash?
Holy fuck, dude. I can't laugh anymore.
Why not?
My fucking back is killing me. I couldn't even fucking work out today.
All right. Hiromu Takahashi in the New Japan world, he suggests they hold the best of the Super Juniors and the G1 Climax tournament simultaneously and have the fans vote on which tournament final should main event the last day.
That's not a bad idea.
I love it. It would eliminate those useless tag matches that they hold every other day, and these guys can get some rest.
I'm 100% agree with that. 100%.
So now, would both of these tournaments happen at the same time at WWE headquarters in Connecticut? Would they have to start on the bottom floor and make their way up to the top
Negative.
And have a food fight? No, right?
No. No food fights there. Let's talk about NXT. NXT teased a huge announcement Wednesday night. And tons of people on the internet, including myself, bit and thought that they were going to Tuesday night. I could not have been more wrong. They have announced that their next takeover will be titled In Your House Takeover.
In Your House.
So that was their big breaking news.
Big story.
Huge story. Imperium is the tag team champions. They beat Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher. Riddle and Thatcher could not be a cohesive unit, and after a couple errant shots from Riddle to Thatcher, Thatcher said, "Go fucking kick rocks. I'm out of here."
He's like, "Go thatch yourself."
That's it.
I love it.
And
didn't they pay it off later in the show? Those guys wrestled one-on-one.
They did.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. You would think they would hold that for another week, yeah?
I can't explain. I'm not even going to try to tell a company they're doing something wrong at this point, especially like NXT, who's done so many things right. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt more over than I'll give like Raw or SmackDown. So,
but that's just a weird thing. You figured they could play that out for, you know, at least a couple of weeks, if not months.
Yeah, who knows?
Fucking Thatcher and Riddle, like, that's a fucking great story.
Maybe we could be looking at, you know, Gargano Ciampa too.
Ooh, Electric Boogaloo.
Tegan Nox beat Indy Hartwell. Jake Atlas beat Tony Nese. So now Atlas is 2-1 and Nese is 0-3 in the Cruiserweight Championship tournament.
Hey, is fucking Maverick still around? Is he still winning?
He is. He'll be on next week or this week.
What's his record?
I don't have it here because he didn't wrestle, so.
Well, fuck him. He ain't coming back anyway. How's Tony Nese 0-3, for God's sakes? Terrible.
Cameron Grimes beat Finn Balor.
Oh, Kevin Greenwood, truck driver guy.
With the help of Damian Priest.
Oh, fuck that guy.
And then Damian Priest did the old chair across the neck, sit down gimmick. And yelled at him. So that's a feud I guess we're going to get. Jack Gallagher.
I like it.
He beat Swerve. So they're both 1-2 in the tournament. Matt Riddle beat Timothy Thatcher. Oh, Caden Carter beat Aaliyah. She submitted her. Because Robert Stone was there, and he distracted Aaliyah.
Didn't the car that ran off the cliff submit her years ago?
She died in an airplane crash, stupid. Wait, no.
Was it an airplane crash?
I take that back. I thought it was a car. You're right. It was a car crash.
Didn't Left Eye die in a plane crash?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, at Applebee's, it was our fiery crash of the week when I worked there.
Was that a drink?
No, it was the article posted on the dry erase board on the way out of the kitchen. Yeah. Doesn't go over well now. Matt Riddle pinned Timothy Thatcher in an excellent match. Very similar to like something you would see on Josh Barnett's Bloodsport, if you've ever seen that, the GCW vehicle.
That's true.
So check that out. I know a lot of people don't know much about Timothy Thatcher. Those in that weird vortex where they only watch WWE, which still fucking boggles my mind that people won't go outside of their comfort zone. But go find some Timothy Thatcher matches on YouTube. Dude's a fucking stud.
I got to call a Timothy Thatcher match myself.
Yeah, how much did you have to pay him?
That's right.
No, it was great. It was fucking awesome. Fuck, I can't think of the guy's name. Who's the guy that calls the matches for Evolve? Fuck's his name? Trevin Adams.
I called Trevor, the match with Trevor Adams.
Trevin. Trust me.
Okay. All right, relax there, you fucking Jake
Roberts. I work with the guy. You don't think I know? I did a bunch of shows with him.
I mean, you do a bunch of shows with us. You can't remember we talked about fucking Impact last week.
Well, fuck them and their fucking tournament. Moose is the champ. That's all they need to know. Why are they even having a tournament?
Tessa's the champ.
Wasn't that the match that Regal was at? Oh, Matt, I stepped over your joke. What did you say? I missed it.
It's okay. You have to listen back.
Boo. He didn't like the joke. He had no confidence in it. That's why.
No, but he laughed so hard. I wanted to hear it.
Top shelf Troy Nelson?
No, Trevin Adams. The guy with the fucking faux hawk kind of thing. He's got a hairstyle you wouldn't like.
Why?
I don't know, because you don't like that shit. I don't know. It was all spiky, like, wiggy kind of looking.
Tony,
wiggy.
Wasn't the match that you called the one that William Regal was at?
Yeah, it was Timothy Thatcher, I think, was the Evolved champion for that match. I want to say he wrestled Gargano. You guys forget what a fucking professional broadcaster I used to be.
Clearly.
And Regal was there peeking his head out the window.
Well, Regal was there because it was an Evolve show as well. It was like Tier 1 did a show, and then Evolve had their setup there. And I actually called. They had Thatcher and Gargano for the main event for the Tier 1 show, actually.
Right. And then that was like the weird setup where we had to go like upstairs, and there was like a room, and then there was like a door, and there was like the bar in the back.
No, that was LaBoom. This was at some other church. It wasn't at Finbar's, but it was another church out in Brooklyn somewhere.
Pretty sure that's the one, because we went into the locker room and we had to go like.
Yes, there was another big room, and we were having beers back there. I remember that. Yes.
That was it, right?
And we had the table set up on the side. I think you and the Lost Wizard and one of the Carinos was doing commentary, maybe?
Yeah, Justin, I think, was
it. That's it. I don't think Matt came out for that one. No. Did Follow work that show? I think Follow worked that show as well. That's why we were all out there. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, I think that was a car ride I think we all took together, actually.
Yes. Yeah. It was good times, man.
It's a shame.
I got to follow the fucking Penta Zero M's fucking matches, too, at LaBoom. He was awesome. You know Penta from fucking Lucha Brothers?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I just
called
one
of his matches, dude.
Nobody ever listened to it.
I don't care. Go out there. They're out there. Find the DVDs. Listen
to
your boy.
Find the DVD. You want someone to find a Tier 1 DVD?
Yeah, DVD's nuts. Fucking go out there and buy one.
Fucking better chance of Geraldo finding one of those than the fucking tomb he was looking for.
Not true. I forget what listener it was. Somebody actually reached out to us and told me, like, hey, I bought one of those DVDs to check you out on commentary.
Yeah, and now they're not a listener anymore because they killed themselves.
No, they enjoyed it. They said, Ash, on the show. Fuck yourselves. How dare you laugh at a professional broadcaster? You wouldn't laugh at Bobby Heenan. You shouldn't laugh at me.
Did you just fucking compare yourself to Bobby Heenan?
Well, actually, I'm better than him, but I don't want him to feel bad. I don't want to speak ill of the dead, so there you go.
What are you drinking over there?
I might have to go urinate in this sink now just because of that comment.
Yeah. Tony made such an offhand comment. I have to go piss in a sink. I'll be right back.
I needed an excuse. That was it. And you gave it to me.
Last, awful.
I felt the need to relieve myself in a fucking sink.
Where else are you gonna go?
The bathroom and the fucking toilet, you hand job.
The sink that serves the same purpose.
Yeah, might be right.
Right? What's it there for, like the fucking washing machine to empty out into?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's there for. I had one at my parents' house, and guess what? When I was in the basement, I just pissed in the sink. You wanna know why? Because it went down the drain.
Fucking
I don't think I could do it. I'm looking right at it.
And that's your own problem.
All I see is like my dad's, don't you dare.
So let me ask you this. Have you ever waffle stomped in the shower?
Does that mean you shit in the shower and then you stomp it down the drain?
Yeah, you waffle stomp.
No, never. Why would who has done that?
Why would you piss in a sink, dude? Come on.
Because it's not like a sink for fucking washing your hands. It's a sink for the runoff from the washing machine. It's where all the dirty water goes.
It's for your washing machine runoff. It's not for your piss.
It's where the dirty water goes. Who cares?
Yeah, what's the difference if you're shit in the shower? The dirty water's going down there, too.
I don't know. I guess you got a point there. It just seems a lot more messier in the shower. You got to stomp on it. Then you got to clean between your toes. And that's like a terrible, terrible situation. Try and get shit out from between your toes. Have you ever stepped in dog shit in your bare feet? It's a nightmare.
You're going to have to take another shower after the shower.
Leave toe prints everywhere. That's all. Who cares?
That seems like a lot of extra work to shit in the shower, and then you got to break it up. It's not France. You're not making grapes. You're fucking jamming shit. That can't be good for your sink either.
You don't make grapes by stomping.
You never saw the grape lady?
No, you make wine by stomping grapes.
Oh, whatever. It's all the same. It's all the same shit.
I can't
can't even take a breath.
You ever make grapes in the shower? You've never made grapes before?
I stand corrected about the fan who purchased the Tier 1 DVD. It was the true Prince of Pro. A true fan. He actually stuck a pencil in his ear, he said, though, because the commentary was so bad. So,
That makes more sense.
Just because he's healing on me now? Come on, dude. You know what you told me.
You're not turning on him?
Nah, fuck him. He turned on me. I don't give a shit.
Really? How do you know I didn't just make that up?
He got tired
Prince
of
the Pro is the ultimate baby face.
No, he's a dick, dude. He's a dick.
No, he's the nicest person I've ever met through Twitter.
Oh, no. He's a nice guy when he was picking on Kevin, but now he turned his attention to me, and
that's,
I don't like
him. No, that's the wrong person.
True Prince of Pro doesn't pick on anyone. You're thinking of Scotch Drinks more.
Wait, who's that? Kenny Hawsey? Oh, fuck them both anyway. Whatever. Let's go. Let's move on. Come on, we got more shit to cover.
Fuck him.
Sorry,
both.
Prince of Pro. You're right. Prince of Pro is nice. Kenny Hawsey's a dick.
He was our stat guy for like 3 years.
Yeah, and he stuck a pencil in his ear and he couldn't fucking hear us anymore, so he gave up on that.
That was your fault because your commentary was so bad.
My commentary is fantastic.
He said it was like Corey Graves and Booker T had a baby.
Ooh. It was a gravy baby.
Sucker!
And you tried to stomp it down the drain in the shower.
Yeah. It was a gravy brown gravy, baby.
No. Fucking J. George Waffle stomped Tier 1 down the drain.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Not fucking Dennis. Dennis the fucking carnival worker.
Hey, Carney Town debuts tomorrow on NWA on YouTube.
Yeah, does it?
Yes.
Hey, Matt, what was that tweet you responded to KM about Carmine?
KM took a picture in his gear, and it was the first time he put it on since he left Impact, and I told him I'll get Carmine on the phone, we'll put the title on you, and you can work as many programs as you want as the world champion.
That popped a lot of people.
A lot of people seem to enjoy my comedy.
No, that wasn't sarcasm. I enjoyed it very much, and so did a lot of other people.
Yeah, I got jokes.
That was awesome.
I'm full of them. Listen every Wednesday night to the AEW Dynamite show.
Oh.
Double or Nothing this weekend, Saturday. Big news coming out of Dynamite. Mike Tyson's going to be a part of the show.
That's insane. What happened with AEW swiping from MLW?
Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson was in talks with MLW.
Was he?
And AEW, I guess, just... Oh, yeah. Deep talks.
Well, there's no TV for him.
At least that's what Court Bauer said.
There's no TV for him to be on MLW. There's no point in having him there.
He was in talks with MLW, and they were pretty intense. I guess as intense could be.
Sure, but then the quarantine happens, and MLW is not doing new shows. So
this was within quarantine time. He was in talks with MLW.
Boxing legend Mike Tyson recently announced he's back in training, considering a few exhibition fights. This caught attention of Major League Wrestling boss Court Bauer, who extended an invite to Iron Mike to step inside an MLW ring. I want to go to the gym and give you 3 or 4 round exhibitions for some charities and stuff, Tyson said. It looks like he just invited him here. MLW CEO Court Bauer caught wind of Tyson's training and seized opportunity. My all-time favorite is considering an exhibition fight. I'm 100% down, but I'd really like to see is Tyson finally get in the wrestling ring. MLW would love to promote that match. That's about it.
If that's it, then I stand corrected. I thought there was a little bit more juice to it.
Maybe there is. This is just what I popped up. I don't want to spend like a half an hour on the show doing research, but it looks like he extended an invitation to him. I don't know if it went any further after that. But let's be honest. Tony Khan comes to you and he's got that sweet fucking NFL money that he's got. Tyson be stupid not to go there.
Oh, without a doubt. And he's the one that's going to be presenting the championship, Matt?
Correct.
And we don't know. The finals have not been. Are the finals done? Oh, is it done? It's Lance Archer. Idiot. Sorry. Go ahead.
You're good. So Tyson's there this week. Wednesday night's go home show is stacked. Orange Cassidy takes on Phoenix. MJF will face Marco Stunt. Matt Hardy faces Sammy Guevara. John Moxley battles Dark Order's number 10, and there will be a face-to-face confrontation between Jake the Snake and Arn Anderson. So the road to Double or Nothing is looking pretty good, my friends.
So they'll both have on their Saturday afternoon lounging clothes on? Because, oh, Jake the Snake did not look good on AEW. I mean, quarantine, I'll give it to him, but oof. He looks so different than when he debuted.
Sure, if you get quarantined in a hotel room with your demons for 4 weeks instead of drinking and smoking crack, you're going to probably eat a shitload of food. DDP had to go in and get him out of there, take him back to the old house-key.
Yeah, because he
oh,
was...
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. He was afraid because Jake kept, like, tweeting stuff out, like he got concerned for Jake's well-being, and he didn't want him to be alone, especially when he was, you know, in the condition he was in, you know, trying to fight off his demons, so... And DDP didn't want to let him back in the house because apparently he's got a new granddaughter that's living with them. So he's been real concerned. And don't forget, DDP is also in his 60s. He's you know, in that age bracket where if COVID gets in the house, it could really fuck him up, you know? So he's at a higher risk, not even with his health. It's his age just by being old, you know? So
and at what point, I mean, good for him, but at what point can – do you have to like stop looking after people older than you or at your, and just start looking after yourself? It's a weird conundrum to be in because DDP is such a good guy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, there was a video that, they had put out cause you know, they fucking film everything over there. And, his daughter was actually talking. He's like, you know, he didn't want to bring him back, but he looked at me and he goes, you know, he said, you know, Jake did a lot for me and he's completely 100% loyal to Jake. I mean, you've seen what Jake's put him through over the years. You know, how many times has he relapsed and DDP said, all right, we just got to start it over, brush it under the rug, and let's get this thing going. I mean, you know, and Jake has fucked up a lot and sometimes in big ways. And Dallas has always been like, you know what? He gave me my break. He was the guy that fucking got me into this.
Has he screwed up recently, Matt, to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge, but his tweets that he was putting out being locked in a hotel room by himself, it was... seemed like it was looking like he was going down that road. Hopefully he didn't.
Oh,
yeah, which is why Dallas jumped up and said, we got to get Jake out of there. We got to bring him back, you know. So, you know, I mean, good for him to last as long as he did. That's a huge step in Jake's life to be at that point where he didn't fall for it. But, you know, the fact that he still has Dallas to lean on is a fucking big plus in his corner. You know?
Yeah, and I didn't mean to make a joke out of it. I honestly didn't know any of this, I think, other than briefly talked on in a text. I didn't know any that Jake was putting out these tweets, so that's kind of wild.
I mean, look, it is what it is. He'll be the first one to tell you he still fucking deals with that shit all the time, you know?
If you guys did not watch AEW Dark last week, if you could find time, check it out. I think you guys would appreciate it because of the purpose it serves, and there's another... full lineup for this week, but it's very Wrestling Challenge Superstars, WCW Saturday Night Main Event. Like, it serves its purpose to highlight the players, and it's just all squash matches that help further the story, and you get to see these guys. Like last week, you got to see Private Party. Statlander looked awesome last Tuesday night against the girl from the NWA, Danny Jordan. She was on that Circle Squared, right, Tony?
Yeah.
She looked awesome, and then it translated well over into Wednesday night because it looked like she got a chance to shake that ring rust off. So this week it's another stacked AEW Dark, Darby Allin against Serpentino, Luther versus John Cruz, Sammy Guevara versus Allen Angels, which if you're going to watch anything, I would watch that because that Allen Angels kid is fucking awesome. Awesome. He had that match.
Even the guy that you mentioned right before him.
John Cruz?
Yeah, he's been on. For a few weeks.
Yeah, he's also that Serpentico. It's just him in a mask.
Oh, I did not know that. Which one is the? Is he the Navy vet?
No, that's Sean Dean.
Sean Dean. I like Sean Dean a lot.
I like Sean Dean a lot too, but he's wrestling Phoenix. QT Marshall's on the show against Clutch Adams. Private Party's in another tag match. Havoc and Sabin are in a tag match, and Marco Stunt is taking on Jason Cade. So that's Dark, and then Dynamite, the go-home show Wednesday night should be awesome. And then Saturday, AEW's Double or Nothing, stacked card, Moxley against Brody Lee, Cody versus Lance, Nyla Rose against Sheeta in a no DQ, no countout match. The Elite against the Inner Circle in a Stadium Stampede match. Britt Baker against Chris Statlander. MJF against Jungle Boy. Tag team match for the number one contender spot. Private Party against Best Friends is on the pre-show. And then the match I'm looking forward to most is the ladder match. Because it is fucking stacked, boys.
Oh, that roulette job that they're doing?
The casino ladder match?
That's the one that, yeah. They've been announcing everybody's in. They got a mystery guy coming in for that one as well.
That's it. It's Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Phoenix, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian, and Luchasaurus.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How did Orange Cassidy not fucking die from that kick Phoenix laid on him last week? Seriously. How did he not fucking die?
I don't know. But that it was awesome.
Kicking quarters, man. It's fucking deadly.
It was excellent.
What else we got in the hopper? You got anything else we got to bring up? I got an idea, actually, before you do that.
Okay.
Since we're going to do our picks after AEW this week, what if we put them in the AEW chat on the Discord so people can check them out before the fucking pay-per-view on Saturday?
Absolutely.
And are you doing picks with your crew on Wednesday as well?
Oh, you mean make the picks in the Discord?
No. Make our picks, but post them in the Discord so people that are members of our Discord can see who we picked, you know, before we talk about it on Monday.
Okay. I actually kind of like the idea of actually making them live in the Discord if you can finagle that, or is that too much?
You'll have too many other people making picks, so it'll get very watery very fast.
No, if it's just us and everyone else is spectators. Okay.
Matt actually, I think, is doing picks now with the AEW crew, so, or the D-Generation Y, so I don't know. I mean, it's not going to mean anything for our statistics, but I think for shits and giggles, we'll see if those guys can test their mettle against the Wizards, the fucking experts of the pay-per-view picks.
Of course. I mean, we could put them up against us when it's all said and done. At least you know it'll get done, unlike the Turnbuckle Throwbacks one.
Oh, you know, they're still making picks, but nobody's ever asked for our picks, so I don't know what they're picking for or against.
Well, that was Jay's thing, so Jay gets a fucking giant F for failure.
Yeah, Jay gets a fucking big dig up his ass, too.
Wow.
Hey, you got anything else we need to cover?
Yes, really fast. The Last Ride, episode 2.
Amazing.
Holy shit. When they ask Vince what The Undertaker means to him, and he's like,
yep, he's cut. Like, cut,
done, turn it off.
And I best
worker in the business, Vince McMahon.
I do dig the fact that Undertaker was like really upset about what he gave Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And yeah. He felt so badly about it after his match with Cena that he fucking went back and he apologized to him after that match as well. And the fucking training dude, like with him hitting the ropes, bumping, training, and he trained with Primo. It was like that Rock situation with Joe Hennig. Yes, you know,
so he's
put on the work with him. He's fucking taking bumps, going off the ropes, working fucking arm drags and headlock takedowns and shit. You never see the Undertaker doing that shit.
So is it?
I don't remember. I remember watching that match, and I don't remember it being that bad.
Which match?
Roman Reigns, Undertaker.
There's parts that are pretty rough. The match with Cena completely redeemed him, but then, as we'll find out in episode 3, the four fucking monkeys that went back to Saudi Arabia, yikes. Nobody had good things to say about that one.
And you also have to realize, Kevin, you will not see things like The Undertaker. Well, you know, like The Undertaker, like you saw, like when he was walking out, he was like, I'm already limping. Like he was already upset about that. And then the reverse tombstone thing where Roman Reigns like dropped him like 3 times.
Yeah. See, I don't even remember that because I haven't gone back and watched the match.
Why would you? It's garbage.
I actually watched it live, so.
But an excellent documentary by the WWE. It's definitely worth going and watching.
I do have one more bit of news, which may be kind of important, unless I'm forgetting anything else. You announced earlier that Pro Wrestling Tees is doing their Memorial Day sale. Code Memorial at checkout, 20% off everything.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just found out they were making an announcement at 7 o'clock tonight. I don't know if you saw this yet. For the first time in 20 years, in conjunction with Martha Hart and Vice, brand new Owen Hart shirts and Dark Side of the Ring shirts, and all of the profits from Owen's t-shirts are going to the Owen Hart Foundation. So those are going to be available now on ProWrestlingTees.com. So when you go over there and you buy an Owen Hart shirt, throw your fucking boy, one of your boy shirts in with it and save 20% all around and know that money's going to a good cause. That's fucking awesome.
Oh, no shit. That episode is...
That's tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
You know what? And I've been thinking about it. Like, Road Warriors, yeah. I mean, like, some of the stuff I enjoyed, some of the stuff was kind of like, this one is going to be fucking rough. This one's going to be really rough to watch. This is the first time Martha Hart's going to really... I mean, like, I know she did Jericho's podcast and whatnot, but this is the first time, like on a grand stage like this, that she's going to come out and fucking tell her side of the story and what was going on with her. And I know we talked about it before. You know, everybody speculates, like, what did Owen think? Like, you know, like, we know what Brett has always said over the years. We've heard bits and pieces of what Martha said, but, you know, we're actually going to get a picture from her side. And, you know, get a peek behind the curtain as to what was going on in Owen's life prior to this tragedy. And yeah. I'm fucking all in to see this, but it's going to be a fucking rough watch, dude. It's going to be rough as shit.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm fucking ready to watch it.
So am I. I'm excited for it. Dark Side has been hitting a home run.
Sure has. Did we lose Kevin? Is Kevin still with us?
Yeah.
All right, there you
I'm
go.
I'm here.
All right, just making sure we got a big S where you were on the screen. I just want to make sure you didn't leave us.
No. Yeah, that's probably gonna be a tough watch just because how much I love Owen Hart. But and it's gonna be fun. I don't know if you guys listened to Martha Hart on Talk Is Jericho. I haven't yet, but she was a guest there, so I don't know if she broke anything there at all. Because I didn't want to watch it or read reports without listening to it first. But
she, what did you see, Tony?
There was a section of it I heard where she talked about how Vince McMahon countersued her during the whole lawsuit. And I forget exactly what the cause was that they filed against her. But it was just like, how the fuck are you suing me? They're like, my husband's dead and you're fucking suing me. So it's like really strange shit. Yeah. I wish I would have fucking remembered what I listened to. But.
And she shit all over the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no doubt. That's the fucking big thing. We'll never, ever see Owen Hart.
Well, she said there is no Hall of Fame. They don't even have a hallway of fame. It's just a fucking money grab.
Do you think if they had an actual Hall of Fame that her opinion would be any different?
If there was a... Look, if they set something up and there's a place where you can go and look at artifacts and old ring gear and ring shit and... pay-per-view banners and all that bullshit, and like, you know, Owen went in and they donated money to his foundation from that, yes, I think her tune would change. But literally, the WWE Hall of Fame is a money grab. It means zero. It doesn't mean shit.
You say that, and in certain ways, maybe it doesn't mean anything, but you can't tell me like Ricky Steamboat gets a phone call and says, hey, Dragon, we're going to put you in the Hall of Fame. You can't tell me that's not like a little fucking icing on the cake for what was a great career. Come on, dude. You can't take that away from the guys. Maybe it's not prestigious to us because there's no Hall of Fame. You know, it's all willy-nilly who gets in and what the reasoning is and who Vince has a hard-on for or just doesn't.
Well, that definitely played. Look, for the guys that get in that deserve it, I don't think Coco Beware belongs there. You know what it is for Coco Beware? It's a reason for him to jack up his fucking appearances on the indies. It's formulaic. There's no thought that goes into it. It's the same fucking formula every year. They just have to capitalize on what's hot. Dave Bautista's in a movie, so we're going to put him in the Hall of Fame. The NWO, let's reform them and grab the nostalgia people. It's all about selling fucking tickets.
Yeah, but come on, dude.
Well,
like,
the Hall of Fame is textbook definition of nostalgia, and Arn Anderson puts it over huge on his podcast.
It's like the fucking Rock and Roll Express, dude. Like, they never really fucking wrestled in WWE, but you don't think they're fucking happy to get recognized for what they did in their career and get a fucking, like, a little bit of an evening to you know, to be in the spotlight one more time? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big deal to some people.
Like I said, if there was an actual place where you could go and pay homage to them, I think that would be better for them because their memory will live on.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. But at a fucking minimum, like, hey, we want to honor you. That's a big deal. If I was a pro wrestler and I got a phone call from Vince or Triple H saying like, hey, pal, we want to put you in the Hall of Fame and we're going to get you a ring and we're going to have you come out on stage and give a speech and so-and-so is going to induct you. That's a fucking huge compliment, dude. regardless of what your position was in the business, whether or not you deserve to be there, you get that phone call, that's a big fucking deal. That's a big deal.
I disagree, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is what
and
it
I
is.
I guess the only question is, would Owen, I feel like, would Owen Hart want to even go in? So that's the only thing. No one has the answer to that question.
So. Well, Brett would say yes, and Martha would say no. So
exactly.
I mean, based off of your opinion, Tony, then you would imagine he would say yes if he, you know. I get it for the guy, but for me, like, as a fan, it's just like, it's so fucking formulaic and boring, and there's no fucking thought that goes into it. It's,
you know, Arn Anderson speculated recently. Somebody asked him about Ole not going in the Hall of Fame and whose decision that was. And it was pretty much Arn said, you know what? Ole wanted nothing to do with the WWE. So to him, a guy like that, if that story is the case, there's a guy that didn't want to be in it. I'm sure there are guys that don't want to be in the Hall of Fame, you know?
Right, Demolition.
Well, Demolition fucking sued Vince, so maybe...
Look, they don't want to... I'm sure they don't want to be in there.
Come on, you can't tell me that fucking Bill Eadie and Barry Garso wouldn't fucking think twice if they got a phone call from somebody in WWE saying, hey, we want to put you in this year.
Only they can answer that question, my friend.
Hey, look at fucking Vince and the Warrior. Nobody could fucking stand each other. They put out a DVD that was a complete hatchet job on the guy's career. They still shit on his career to this day. Fucking invited him to the Hall of Fame, and he took it.
Invited your boy Bruno.
Bruno got in. Come on, bro. Never
say
never.
I mean, it took forever, but he got in, so. Yeah, I
mean, that's the only tragedy, but you know what? You take what you can get, and fucking well-deserved for Bruno to finally get in that Hall of Fame. But I don't want to pontificate on Bruno. We got any closing stuffs that we want to get through, or?
I think we covered it all.
I think we're good.
All right, cool. I guess Wednesday folks should tune into the AEW Dynamite recap show with D-Generation Y.
Absolutely. We're going to cover that go-home show, going to AEW's Double or Nothing. You should also join the Shining Wizards Discord. It's not just wrestling talk. I know Kevin, Ant Money, and my wife talked about Live PD for like 3 hours Saturday night. I woke up to like 150... messages that I had to read through at like 6 o'clock. But that's the beauty of the Discord. There's the general chat where you can talk about everything, and then there's different chats for each specific promotion. So it's just a great place for people to go and talk and shoot the shit. And I know Kevin's talking Live PD, Anthony's talking about music, Kratzo's in there, which is great. Like all these people that you know, Sean Callejo from Australia, he's in the Discord chatting it up. It's people that we don't usually get to talk to on the regular, and they're involved, and they make it an awesome place. So if you're looking for like fellow wrestling fans, just good people, just check out the Discord, yeah. Get in there. It's not
We were talking about me and William. I think it was me and either Sean Callejo or William Mercy. We were talking about TNA 2010 when Hogan and Bischoff popped up. So we talk about everything wrestling related. There's a retro group. There's MLW. There's Ring of Honor.
So check it out. And don't forget, Pro Wrestling Tees Memorial Day sale, as Tony mentioned before, starts Thursday. Code Memorial at checkout. Check out ShiningWizards.com. Check out ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. And if you spend over $150, you get some free shipping, son. Of course, Patreon, we plugged that before. Twitter and Facebook, the Greatest Intercontinental Champion Tournament kicks off Wednesday at noon. And we'll be back next Monday on Memorial Day for episode 482 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Woo!
Oh, baby.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
I'll fucking kill you, motherfucker.
Well, goodnight, everyone. That's it for all of us. And be safe, be well, and put on a mask. I guess.